Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
It's a talk show for the rest of us, not just ditto heads and right-wing nuts. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Join me every afternoon, 3 to 6, right here on KRXA 540. With great guests, hot topics, and a little humor, we help you navigate in today's world. More information, web streaming, and archives at peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show, afternoons 3 to 6 on KRXA 540.
Progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Tom Daschle out as Health Secretary nominee. Nancy Killefer out as government performance officer, both pulled out of contention over back taxes.
The president is taking the blame.
We screwed up.
He told Katie Couric for the CBS Evening News he regrets the loss of his nominee for HHS secretary.
This is something that was my fault. I continue to consider Tom Daschle an outstanding public servant. And what we're going to do now is make sure that we get somebody confirmed and start moving forward.
And along with losing his nominee for chief performance officer, Nancy Killefer, Mr. Obama seems well aware of the bad impression.
I don't want my administration to be sending a message that there are two sets of rules, one for prominent people and one for ordinary folks who have to pay their taxes every day.
Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Not everything was doleful and disappointed at the White House today. The president's new attorney general was sworn into office. Eric Holder makes history, too. First black man to head the Justice Department.
It is great to be back at the Department of Justice.
And the president's pick for Commerce Secretary, Republican Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire, was getting encouragement and support from members of both parties.
This is not a time for partisanship. This is not a time when we should stand in our ideological corners and shout at each other. This is a time to govern and govern well.
Auto sales numbers for January came in way down again. Ford 40% off, Toyota 32%, GM down 49%, Chrysler was off 55%, Nissan 30%, Honda 28%, Ed Lapham at Automotive News.
There's no reason yet for car sales to pick up, and even the most optimistic experts think it's going to be several months yet before there's a serious uptick.
Subaru and Hyundai were both up, however, selling well, the only ones that did. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 141 points today. NASDAQ was up nearly 22. Oil prices just over $41 a barrel. 1,800 homes went into foreclosure sale today in Atlanta, Fulton County Courthouse. Misery for families, bargains for buyers like Leonard Gresham.
I would buy it here. It's the cheapest place to buy it. At the courthouse steps, the cheapest place.
If you have or can get the money, the home bargains are off the scale these days. Another airliner encounters birds near the airport. This one in Denver, however, ended in the usual fashion.
Flight 77 from Denver to San Francisco returned to Denver's airport shortly after departure, after the pilot reported a bird strike. The flight landed safely and without incident and under the power of both engines.
Megan McCarthy at United Airlines. No injuries, no big excitement, just a return for the landing. The College of William and Mary is taking the telephone lines out of the dormitories. They say students aren't using them anyway. They all seem to have cell phones these days. It will save the college thousands of dollars a year. And they say the students who want a landline will simply have to pay the activation fee and they'll hook it up for them. This is CBS News.
This Valentine's Day, give the gift that costs less than roses and lasts forever. Name a star after someone you love. I'm Rocky Mozo with International Star Registry. Call 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com and tell that special someone how much you care. For $54, we will send a beautiful personalized gift, and the new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Make it a Valentine's Day you will treasure forever. Call 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com and give the gift of a star.
You know, I've read the blogs, I've been in the automotive chat rooms, and I hear you. You want smoother acceleration, better gas mileage, and pumped up engine performance. Yeah, well, Advanced Auto Parts wants you to have it too. So right now, 12-ounce bottles of Valvoline fuel injector cleaner are BOGO. Yeah, that's how we say buy one, get one free in the biz. Get off the blogs and over to Advanced for some Valvoline fuel injector cleaner, and grab an air filter while you're at it. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
A snowplow is heavy. Anyone who steals one isn't walking off with it on his back. The economy's cold, winter's been rough. Put together, that's led to a rise in snowplow thefts.
Thefts go up, and insurance-related fraud goes up at the same time.
People trying to earn money doing their own plowing.
There is a need for more snowplow equipment, and the economy certainly isn't helping the situation.
Heidi Jordan is an agent with the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
They're very expensive items, and when you consider the cost of the plow blade itself, and then you've got a mounting kit for the blade, you've got the labor to install it, it's quite a substantial loss.
Steve Kathan, CBS News. The founder of Girls Gone Wild is in trouble with the judge again. Joe Francis, who makes the famous videos in which girls at spring break make memorable digital moments, was late for court yesterday claiming a bad case of flu. The judge had him thrown in jail for contempt. The hearing was a request by his lawyers to step out of the tax evasion case. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Winter weather. It's hard on oil, which can be hard on your engine, which can be hard on you if it all breaks down. So don't put off an oil change and get stuck this winter. Go to Advance Auto Parts. They got 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for only $15.99. And an air filter to help save some gas, and you're good to go until spring. Get to Advance and change your oil and filter for less before a breakdown costs you a whole lot more. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
FDR declared a banking holiday. I'm asking BHO to declare a blogging holiday.
Because I can't keep up.
There's just so much out there. So much breaking. And we do our best to compile it into a daily 3-hour radio program presented thusly and named after me, the Peter B. Collins Show. Not an exercise in humility, I realize. I want to thank you for joining us on the broadcast today, tonight, middle of the night, wherever you happen to be listening, whatever device you use. And a shout out to our new late night listeners on the mighty KPOJ 620 in Portland, Oregon. We're now on every night at this time in the first hour. And should you be intrigued by something that's on later in our program, you can grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com. In a moment, Ken Silverstein will join us from Harper's Magazine. He just turned me on to something that you'll hear in a moment that sets up the Tom Daschle imbroglio in sharp relief. Later this hour, Steve Pizzo, who is the self-styled curator of the Bush Project. Now, this is not like the library that W is working on. No, this is a repository of information that screams for an investigation. Steve Pizzo will be with us later this hour. He's an investigative journalist, semi-retired, but not out of the game. Also on today's program, you may know that there's a battle over inclusion in the stimulus bill of some funding for the arts, a piddly little $50 million. Yeah, the cost of a corporate jet. Barry Hesenius, former director of California's Arts Council, will join us to talk about how a $50 million investment in the National Endowment for the Arts that trickles down to painters, sculptors, and other artists can really stimulate the economy. It's a good investment. Jason Leopold, the investigative journalist who publishes online at pubrecord.org, will be with us later. He's talked with Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. He said he will not paper over the torture policies of the Bush administration. And now that we have an attorney general who's confirmed and out of the clutches of the Republicans, you will be hearing me on almost a daily basis call for public testimony from Sybil Edmonds. I want the Ashcroft gag order lifted, and I want to hear what she has to say. Melanie Sloan was on the Public News Hour Monday night talking about the Daschle case, and perhaps her comments helped lead to his decision to bail out. The New York Times editorial probably was a factor as well. Melanie will be with us as usual to kick off our third hour. And we're also going to talk with Eleanor Smeal, former president of the National Organization for Women, founder of Feminist Majority, publisher of Ms. Magazine. And we'll talk about Obama lifting the gag rule and then cutting the family planning budgets from the so-called stimulus bill. That's my agenda. What's yours? Call in and let me know. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And our late-night listeners, your best route to comment is email peter@peterbcollins.com. Ken Silverstein from Harper's will join us in just a moment, but on his blog, Washington Babylon, I found the link to this campaign commercial for Tom Daschle for Senate from South Dakota. Oh, geez, I just clicked in the wrong place. Now I'm going to YouTube. Well, we'll talk to Ken here while we wait for it to load. Ken, welcome back to our program today.
Thanks.
Always good to talk with you, and I want to thank you for the link to this. And now my computer, it's loading. Here we go.
Among Washington.
Oh, and now it's buffering.
It's BM.
We'll pause for a second here and hope the buffering will complete. Come on. Computers are so much fun on live radio, Ken, you know?
I have this problem with computers, whether I'm on radio or not.
Yeah. All right, now I'm clicking play, YouTube. Take my command and run with it. Play. Here we go.
Among Washington's BMWs and limos is this. Since 1971, the old Pontiac has served its owner well. Sure, it's rusted, and it burns a little oil. But after 15 years and 238,000 miles, Tom Daschle still drives his old car to work every day. Maybe he's sentimental, or just cheap. Whatever the case, isn't it too bad the rest of Washington doesn't understand that a penny saved is a penny earned?
And he parks his car by the Capitol, starts to walk to work there. He does check the trunk there to see if Leo Hendry is climbing out.
Might be leaping out.
Oh, Ken, this is priceless. Do you know how far back this goes in the campaign history of Senator Daschle?
I am presuming from his bio and from the look of the ad that it's one of the 1980s campaigns, but I'm not entirely positive. I mean, when I first saw it, I really thought, this has got to be a Saturday Night Live early, you know, already doing a parody. It was just too perfect.
Well, if people want to see it for themselves, go to YouTube and look for Tom Daschle, D-A-S-C-H-L-E, ad, A-D. And it was just posted today, so I don't know the exact era it's from. But it really just speaks volumes. And for Daschle not to understand that using Leo Hendry's car, not just occasionally and not just, you know, for a trip to Dulles or something like that, but it appears that every time Leo was out of town, Tom got to use the car and the driver. And I certainly know that that is viewed as income to the person who didn't have to pay cab fare or drive his own Pontiac. How could it be that Tom Daschle not only didn't recognize it at the time, but as he was being groomed and vetted for twin posts in the Obama administration, how could he have waited so long to discover it?
Well, I don't believe for one second, and of course I have no proof of what I'm about to say, but logic tells me that Tom Daschle fully understood that this was reportable income. I mean, you know, it just turns out that right before he's being, right as he's being nominated, that this problem emerges. I mean, it's not credible to think that the Daschle couldn't have recognized this. And frankly, it's pretty obvious that if not for the fact that he had, were nominated for this position by Obama, he would never, you know, tried to pay, now he wants to pay the taxes. Well, why didn't he do it at the time?
I mean, now, he says he has, that he already has paid them. Is that an accurate claim? I heard him say it in his apologia as he left the Senate on Monday night.
Okay, well, I confess you've stumped me there. But if he claims he's paid it now, great. But, you know, this is like, you know, Tim Geithner, these guys are pretty wealthy individuals. They're pretty sophisticated individuals. One would think they would know how to do their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was paid, then it was paid late and only as a result of his being nominated for this position. So,
well, I've been waiting to hear him say, well, Charlie Rangel gave me my free tax advice over lunch.
It's really getting ridiculous. I mean, it's embarrassing that you've got these string of people who have tax problems who have been nominated for positions with the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think the whole episode demonstrates more than anything the total cluelessness of the Senate and the way these guys, for the most part, guys anyway, live in a complete bubble. They're totally tone deaf. I mean, Daschle didn't pay $128,000, or, you know, he owes $128,000 on taxes. This is 2.5 years' income for the average American family of four, and it just so happens that he, you know, initially had forgotten about it. And then they all come rushing out to defend him, one after the other, and talk about how this guy is a man of unimpeachable integrity, and, you know, obviously he couldn't possibly, there couldn't possibly be anything seriously wrong here. You know, one after the other, the Democrats in the Senate come out to defend this guy. They just don't get it. They live in a world all of their own, and unfortunately the public, you know, gets, I'm looking for a polite term here. Let's just say shafted by these guys.
You know, we're allowed to say screwed on the radio.
I was, I figured I could get away with that. I was actually thinking of something a little bit that I think I definitely couldn't have gotten away with.
Actionable.
Unshafted.
An actionable phrase.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Ken, you know, I have mixed feelings because I was accepting Obama's nomination of Daschle on a very pragmatic basis, that Daschle knows the Hill. Daschle was there for the blunders of the Hillary Care attempted reform in 93. He wrote a book about it. He, you know, is a guy who really could help pass a very critical piece of legislation that is going to be bitterly opposed by many interests that are clearly identifiable. On the other hand, I interviewed him last year in Washington after his book on health care had come out, and I'm a single-payer guy. And so I asked him, I said, Senator, you know, I think that the for-profit delivery of health care is a proven failure, and we've got to acknowledge that before we can really fundamentally fix it. And he had a rehearsed and patronizing answer, which was, well, you know, if we could start over, I'd go for single payer. But we can't, and so I don't.
Right.
And I do understand the obstacles. I know that that was one of the issues back in the early 90s, and that the few workers in this country who are left with gold-plated, fully employer-paid health care don't want to give it up. But there are 50 million people without it, and there are a lot of us struggling to pay for it. And so, you know, I really think that we need to move toward single payer. It won't happen overnight, but it has to be, for me, the end game of this reform, or we simply won't squeeze the profit taking and price gouging out of either the insurance or the healthcare delivery sectors.
No, well, I fully agree with you, and I think when I hear guys like Daschle talk about, you know, there's always a reason, you know, whether it's, you know, it's too complicated, you know, and we can't start all over again, and sure, in a perfect world, you know, in the end, one suspects that the real reason is that Daschle has made so much money off of healthcare interests that don't like single payer, and that may have something to do with it, and that, in fact, may be more directly relevant to his opposition than his belief that, oh, we just can't start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got entrenched interests who are determined to fight single payer. There's way too much money at stake. And that, yeah, sure, it is complicated. All good change is complicated, but that doesn't mean we abandon the idea. And, you know, I can personally say, just in the last couple of years, the amount of money that I have spent on health care is just so outlandish. I mean, just from any sort of prescription to going in for a checkup, you know, and I'm lucky. I have a health care plan, and yet what I pay out of pocket is just ridiculous. I think there's probably a lot more support for single payer than Obama is wagering on. I think, in fact, that the sort of uproar over Daschle is sort of interesting in the sense that, you know, Obama got a mandate for change. People voted for him because they really are fed up, and they're very upset about business as usual. And yet Obama has been acting as if, you know, he's got the most important thing is winning Republican support. I think there's a lot more anger and a lot more interest in him accomplishing something.
Well, and this continuity thing is getting a little out of hand, too. Ken, we got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. Ken Silverstein, he's Harper's Magazine Washington editor, and he writes the Washington Babylon blog, available to you free at harpers.org. And that kills Rick MacArthur, but it is still free. That's harpers.org. We'll take a break and return. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service features full service, friendly, fast, same-day service. Or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located at 4665 Soquel Drive at the intersection with Porter Street and Soquel. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's
818-4033. It's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour coming this Friday, February 6th. To the Kawumba in Santa Cruz, comedically capturing the spirit, stories, and people of the Monterey Bay Area. This Friday, we've got comedians Dan St. Paul, Jim Joseph, and Joe Klosik.
I'll tell you this much. Any culture that starts in a desert and disrespects its women is doomed to fail.
Dad, you live in Las Vegas.
Also joined by Zach Friend with the Stupidest Cop of the Month Award, Sven Davis brings all the sounds of the universe, the planetoids, the latest blues from Planet Cruise. It's all at the Kawumba this Friday, 8 p.m. Tickets $18 in advance at Gateway's Books, Streetlight Records, or planetcruise.org. $23 at the door, 320 Cedar Street, the Kawumba this Friday, the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. You're going to laugh your glutes off.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Show rolls on, 23 minutes into the hour. Snowstorm in Boston, sorry about that. Sunshine, 75 degrees here in San Francisco. We're suffering through it again.
I don't know what matters to you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
Ken Silverstein with me, Harper's Washington Bureau Chief. Read him at harpers.org or just go out and buy the magazine. Rick MacArthur, your publisher, was on with us recently, Ken, and I was talking about your work and also Scott Horton, urged him to give you raises. Anything coming through?
I haven't heard anything about that, but if you hear anything, please do let me know.
Well, I told him you're a genius, and he ought to give you one of those grants. But
hey, I love that.
I'm not sure he's in charge of that. So, Lefty Blogs, I was kind of ranting about blog overload at the start of the show today, but Lefty Blogs are suggesting that Leo Hendry is out of sync with the corporatists that the Obama team has assembled. And that this is one of the reasons that Daschle kind of got into a hot water. Hendry helped him become a multimillionaire over the last few years, with or without the car and driver. Mm-hmm. And he is a capitalist who opposes a lot of the deregulation and some of the excesses of his fellow wealthy people. And so the suggestion is that Hendry was part of Daschle's problem. Any comment?
Well, I'm not quite sure I'd buy that. I mean, you in fact see that Obama has appointed a number of people, Larry Summers, Tim Geithner. The ruling opinion of the Obama administration in terms of economic policy, in fact, seems to be that, well, maybe we got carried away with deregulation in the past, because remember, of course, that these guys were deeply involved in deregulating the economy when they were with the Clinton administration, but that still... that's the best way to go. So I don't know. I mean, I confess I have been following the Daschle thing real closely. I haven't come across that argument, so maybe I'm not quite getting it. But I don't know. I don't think that really was the problem for Daschle. The problem is that the guy looks like a tax cheat. And he, not only that, but, as this story started blowing up, you had more and more information coming out. It looked to me like there was going to continue to be a sort of avalanche of embarrassing news about the guy. Politico had a story today about how Daschle had actually gone to bat on behalf of Hendry and tried to get him a job with the administration.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the fact that Daschle made, what was it, $5.2 million in recent years.
Well, he got $2 million at a law firm, and he's not a lawyer. I qualify for a gig like that.
Yeah, the whole thing just becomes really, really embarrassing. So, you know, in a way, it's sort of fortunate that this tax problem came out, in my view, because I think otherwise Daschle would have sailed through, and I think he was a very compromised nominee to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is exactly the sort of person you don't want to point into Obama's cabinet, and especially a guy to oversee health care reform. He's way too compromised. He's the ultimate Washington insider, and I can't say I'm unhappy that he went down.
Yeah. Here's Ben in Salinas, a man of strong opinion. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, I'm calling to make a comment. You know that governor that they're going to appoint a new Secretary of Commerce and Bill Richardson's place, and he says he's going to appoint a Republican successor even though he's a Democrat?
In New Hampshire,
where
right.
Where the hell are these Democratic governors? Don't any of them have a spine? Whatever the state constitution of that state allows for is what should be followed. Let the guy be confirmed as Secretary of Commerce and then appoint a Democrat and then let it go to the court.
Well, and Ben, I got, hey Ben, got your point. I got my political education in Chicago, and this is one case where I wanted a smoke room deal to come through. I wanted to see Judd Gregg resign and have a Democrat appointed there. Ken, what happened? Is this post-partisanship out of control?
I think it's a little bit out of control. I mean, you've got Judd Gregg demanding that, in order for him to accept the job, that the governor of the state has to appoint a Republican to replace them. That's just not the way that the law works. I mean, my understanding is that the governor can appoint whoever he wants. So
shouldn't he be careful about putting conditions on that? I mean, Blagojevich just learned a tough lesson.
Yeah, it's sort of funny to me. I was surprised by that he was able to so flagrantly get away with that. And again, I think the responsibility here really lies with Obama, who once again looks to me like, if he wants to appoint a Republican, I wonder why that once again necessary to prove how bipartisan he is.
Yeah.
They've demonstrated that.
Ken, we're out of time. We'll talk again real soon. I appreciate your work. Washington Babylon is the blog at harpers.org. Ken Silverstein, thank you.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Sam Litzinger, sitting in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. February 3rd, 1959, 50 years ago today.
The day the music died.
Rock and roll loses three of its founding fathers. More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Sam. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD? It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message is brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
That's Jared!
Hi, I'm Jane Seymour. My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Priced from just under $40 to $1,200.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
A cold night, February 3rd, 1959. A small plane takes off from Iowa after a rock and roll show, the Winter Dance Party, carrying three tired musicians to their next gig in North Dakota. The plane never made it. Pilot Roger Peterson is killed, as are Charles Hardin Holley, Giles Perry Richardson, and Richard Valenzuela. Maybe you don't recognize their given names. How about Buddy Holly? J.P. the Big Bopper Richardson.
Chantilly lace and a pretty face.
Richie Valens. The crash that killed them was one of the great tragedies of rock and roll, because the three performers were helping give form to the relatively young style. Buddy Holly, in particular, became a hero to people like Bob Dylan and the Beatles. Music fans were left to wonder what Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens might have done if they'd been given more time. It's a question that haunted Don McLean and that resonates with people who hear his song, American Pie. Much of today's pop music is processed, packaged, highly profitable. But in 1959, it was something new and different and even a little scary, which is why so many young people loved it. And those who were young then remember now. The Osgood File, Sam Litzinger on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Here we go, starting another war.
We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored.
Remember the Bush years?
Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
Stephen Pizzo returns to our program this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. He helped bust open the savings and loan debacle of the 1980s, co-author of a book called Inside Job. And he made some money on the Internet and is now, I guess, comfortable. I hope you didn't lose everything, Steve.
No. In fact, I was just going through one of my files the other day from stuff I'd written in the past. And in 2002, I wrote a long piece for the San Francisco Sunday, the Chronicle in San Francisco Sunday edition,
mm-hmm.
entitled, If You Loved Reaganomics, You're Going to Really Love Bushonomics. Mm-hmm. And so I got my money out of the market a long time ago. Thank you very much.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
And Steve is a guy who is committed to, I think, the rule of law in the United States. He was unflinching back in the SNL days. He went on to write an interesting series of web posts back in the 2000 election cycle called the Daily Enron, and he's at it again. He has a new website up called BushProject.com. And what are we doing here, Steve? Is this one of those partisan witch hunts that Obama is so afraid of?
Well, first of all, I'm not the only person doing this. There's a lot of websites out there screaming for the prosecution of the last batch that were in the White House. And, you know, when I wrote Inside Job, now I'm a Democrat. I'm not going to pull any bones about that. But when I wrote Inside Job with Mary Fricker and Paul Mallow, we ripped both the Republicans and the Democrats. Anybody can read that book and try to figure out whether we're on one side or the other are going to have a hard time doing it. In fact, there were more Democrats involved in that wrongdoing than were Republicans. So having said that, I'm not partisan in that way. I'm partisan in the way of policy, but not in personality. Now, these guys who just left office set some absolutely terrifying precedents. And those precedents are going to stand unless somebody does something about it. I mean, either we're a banana republic where, all you got to do to escape being prosecuted is to get enough money offshore and leave government, or we are a rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And as they keep telling us, and they told us in civics class, in America, no one is above the law. No one is too big to jail. Now, either that's true or it's not. If it's not, then Obama and Holder, our new Attorney General,
mm-hmm.
need to come out and say that's not true anymore. It may have been at one time, but it's not true anymore. There seems to be an awful lot of queasiness about prosecuting these people, and I just don't get it.
Yeah.
The argument is that if we prosecute the Bush people, then we are criminalizing politics. And we don't want to criminalize politics. Well, they're the ones that criminalize politics.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an abuse of language, because what we're talking about here is criminalizing criminal behavior. And it's already a crime, and to turn a blind eye to it, as Pelosi did with impeachment, much to my chagrin, but to allow the most egregious offenses to stand unchallenged sends a terrible message to the future. And even if in our idealism many of us believe that, oh, Obama wouldn't torture, well, he said he won't torture at Guantanamo, but he hasn't said he won't torture at Bagram or elsewhere. And he hasn't repudiated rendition. He hasn't really repudiated signing statements, although he criticized them during the campaign.
Yeah, well, and it's not just Obama we have to worry about. I tend not to worry about him in that regard.
Not as much.
But
I agree.
who's coming down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And if this stands, it simply says, but look, you know, the thing is, these people who are against prosecuting high government officials after they leave office because it's going to set a bad precedent seem to forget. We prosecuted, a baker's dozen of people out of the Nixon White House and sent them to jail. We sent people to jail out of the Reagan White House for the Iran-Contra affair.
Mm-hmm.
And the nation didn't end, and politics did not get criminalized in the process. Those people broke the law, and they were sent to jail for it.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
And likewise, the Church Commission, while it was not perfect, it did put a chill on the most offensive acts of the CIA for about a 15-year period, and Bush fixed that real quick.
Yeah.
And we have to be fair that Bill Clinton trimmed some of the edges of the restraints of the Church Commission and the laws that followed that. But we have had a trend here that needs to be stopped.
And here's another thing that's got to be stopped, and it needs to be rolled back fast. Before I went into hiding, which I call retirement, I covered the mob as well. And the mob had a little trick. Whenever they wanted to discuss something with another mobster, high-level mobster, they knew they were under surveillance or they knew they were under investigation, they would go to their attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
And their attorney, then they fell under the umbrella of attorney-client privilege and nothing could be used and nobody could ever repeat the conversations, blah, blah, blah. The Bush people did the same thing with Gonzalez. Whenever they needed an opinion from this guy, no matter how wacko it was, they went to him, and you know, his nickname around the place was Dr. Yes.
Yep.
Because he never said no. And so they'd get these BS letters from him saying, oh, sure, that's fine. And now they're using those letters as defense for what they did. That means that anybody who wants to break the law in the future simply needs to find some shady lawyer to write them a letter to say, oh, it's not illegal, that's fine. I've got an interpretation here. And then you go to the judge and say, my attorney said this was fine. You try that and tell me how fast that gets you out of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Steve Pizzo with us. Visit the new website, bushproject.com, and you might be able to make a contribution to gathering information or helping build the cases here or persuading our leaders that this is the right thing to do, to call for full accountability, full disclosure, and if it leads to criminal charges and criminal prosecutions, hey, that's how it works, and we should not pull punches. We shouldn't make the mistakes of Bill Clinton, which was to just forgive and forget Iran-Contra and say, let's move on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we moved on to Trooper Gate and Whitewater and the bimbos leading up to the Lewinsky impeachment attempt.
You know, the double standard problem, I mean, that's really what this is. I mean, this is a real double standard. This is the quintessential double standard, is if you're big enough, you can't be prosecuted. But we're seeing it even right to this day with these people like Daschle and this woman who and Geithner and stuff not paying their taxes. And there was a headline after Daschle pulled out today, said, a CNN headline said, members of Congress shocked that Daschle backs out. What do you mean he's shocked? What planet do you people live on that you should be shocked? So this double standard thing is so embedded in that town. I mean, he had a driver and a limousine when he was majority leader of the Senate, and when the voters threw him out of office, he decided he just deserved a driver and a limousine, and one of his friends gave him a driver and limousine. He didn't have to pay taxes on it when he was a senator, so he figured he didn't have to pay taxes on it when he was a private citizen either. This is a mindset, Peter, mindset, and it goes right to the top, and that's why it's got to stop.
Now, are you encouraged at all by the confirmation of Attorney General Holder? He managed to apparently get through without promising not to prosecute, but there is one element, perhaps a red herring, that Kit Bond, the senator from Missouri, says that in private conversations, Holder assured him that he was not going to, in particular, prosecute for the torture policies.
If anybody, including the U.S. Attorney General, has knowledge of a crime, it's a crime not to report it. There's a word for that, a legal term for that, and I can't think of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that it is a crime to have knowledge of a crime and not report it. Okay? So this is the top cop saying basically, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. He doesn't, you know, so I understand that they've got their plate full. But when Obama was running, one of the points he made when John McCain suspended his campaign because he had to run back to Washington and fix the economy was, no, a president has to be able to do more things, more than one thing at once.
Yeah.
So, you know, I tell you, I understand why they're reluctant to open this can of worms, because the right-wingers, the same people who thought it was perfectly all right to turn the Clinton administration inside out over a sexual dalliance,
mm-hmm.
Will come out of the woodwork claiming that we're tearing down the American government, tearing down the Constitution.
Right.
So it's going to be ugly.
The way I would like to see it handled, and unfortunately Obama already gave a job to David Iglesias, but I was proposing that the new attorney general appoint David Iglesias as a special prosecutor. Iglesias is a Republican. He was burned by the Karl Rove politicization of the Justice Department,
mm-hmm.
and I think that he is an honorable man who would pursue crime where he found it and not charge where he didn't.
The Republicans just say he's grinding an axe.
Well, I don't care. So they gave him a job at Gitmo, I guess to close it down and to wind down the tribunals. But he is the guy who I would like to see, because for me, Patrick Fitzgerald came up short on the on the Rove White House investigation.
Yeah, he
and
sure did.
I feel he pulled punches there. I don't know exactly why or how, but there was certainly more to that case than Scooter Libby lying to investigators.
Even Fitzgerald, a man with a reputation like his, didn't have the cojones to prosecute the sitting vice president of the United States.
Yeah.
Just didn't have it. I mean, that is and I understand the reluctance to do it. You don't want to set a precedent for everybody going after the last guy who was in that job.
Mm-hmm.
But this was bad. This was.
Well, and this is so flagrant, Steve, particularly when we saw Bush and Cheney, bragging about their law breaking as they were tidying up their histories, their legacies.
Yeah, well, Congress should act, and they should, they didn't act during the time it was actually happening. They should at least try to redeem themselves by having full investigation, subpoena all these people, and this time when they don't show up, you send the sergeant of arms out as the law allows and mm-hmm. arrest them.
Here's the colonel. He's in Monterey today. Terry, you're on the air with Steve Pizzo.
Thank you, Peter. I agree almost entirely with your guest. And I've seen how Washington works, as you know.
Yep.
I also observed Daschle and the relationship his wife had with industry, some of which was disclosed and some wasn't.
Yep, lobbyist people with issues before the Federal Aviation Administration.
And others.
Yeah.
And indirectly some of the other funding. Daschle besmirched his office and his sworn duty to do so with integrity is on the Senate. And that's really largely why the voters in North or South Dakota threw him out.
South, yeah.
South Dakota was because of the overwhelming evidence of corruption, frankly.
I'm not so sure about that. Thune ran a really smear-filled campaign.
Okay, it wasn't entirely illegal, but he was benefiting from his wife's contacts and using his office to mm-hmm. obtain more money for her, bottom line.
Well, he was a machine Democrat. I mean, just the old, Reid's another machine Democrat.
Very correct.
Mm-hmm.
I think Obama has to, I'm disappointed that he hasn't said, by goodness, we're going to have competent, honest people clear. We're going to have no entanglement and no lingering, if you will, bribes after the fact.
Yep.
As is the case. And Geithner, he doesn't need Geithner as a Treasury Secretary to succeed. And Daschle is a total sellout to the pharmaceutical and the drug and the hospital companies.
Sure. Well, when it comes to, you've hit on something interesting. It's a little off of the subject of the prosecution, but Geithner, Daschle, all of these people who got themselves in trouble, they stood up for him initially and said they're just too valuable to let them go on this simple matter.
Too big to fall.
That's the same argument those clowns on Wall Street are using to pay themselves those huge bonuses, even though their companies are failing.
Absolutely.
We need those bonuses because we can't keep valuable people.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely true. And I'm coming back to the prosecution. Peter well knows my opinion. of Pelosi and her failure to do her duty for 2 years to even have a parallel investigation going.
And Terry's a recovering Republican. He supported McCain very actively in 2000, Steve.
I worked for John.
So you get an idea.
Yeah, I know him, but I...
Colonel, I got to run to a break.
Anyway,
always good to hear from you.
Good work, guys, and push for a total investigation of Bush and Cheney.
BushProject.com. Check it out. Steve Pizzo's the proprietor so far, and he'd like out. We'll talk about that as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
It's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour coming this Friday, February 6th, to the Kawumba in Santa Cruz. Comedically capturing the spirit, stories, and people of the Monterey Bay Area. This Friday, we've got comedians Dan St. Paul, Jim Joseph, and Joe Klosik.
I'll tell you this much. Any culture that starts in a desert and disrespects its women is doomed to fail.
Dad, you live in Las Vegas.
Also joined by Zach Friend with the Stupidest Cop of the Month Award, Sven Davis brings all the sounds of the universe, the Planetoids, the latest blues from Planet Cruise. It's all at the Kawumba this Friday, 8 p.m. Tickets $18 in advance at Gateway's Books, Streetlight Records, or planetcruise.org. $23 at the door, 320 Cedar Street, the Kawumba this Friday, the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. You're going to laugh your glutes off.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Stephen Pizzo. He blogs every day at newsforreal.com, and he just started this project a few weeks ago called BushProject.com. And your long-term goal is not to be in charge of this forever. Is that right, Steve?
Well, I'm a one-man operation right now. Actually, I'm meeting with the head of one of the Bay Area schools of journalism tomorrow for coffee. What I'm trying to do is maybe set up, you know, the Innocence Project. There's
sure.
A Boston, you know, what is
oh,
it,
yeah.
Harvard, I guess. Sort of a, this would be the guilt project, I guess I call it. But, you know, if we could get a bunch of really sharp J school students out there, you know, creating the grist for news stories, and law students and paralegals and a number of different people working on this, you know, we've got to just keep it alive. I think what everybody in Washington is hoping is that it just, over time, people will get over it. I know the Republicans have started this Bush direct. derangement syndrome thing. Have you heard about that?
Where, no.
Oh, yeah, that any of us who want to prosecute Bush suffer from Bush derangement syndrome.
Oh, can we get a grant, a bailout for that?
Maybe I could apply to Medicare or something.
What if I agree to take Abilify? Will that change anything?
I don't know, but read that black label, boy.
Yeah, right. Your foot may fall off.
Choke on your tongue or something. But what I'm basically trying to do is provide. I'm providing documents that I'm sort of a hub where people can come and get stuff and where people can meet. I'm talking to web designers who can make the site more interactive so that attorneys can chat with one another online and trade evidence and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book out by Vincent Bergolosi.
Sure, he's been on our show.
Yeah.
He's a really intense guy, but I'd hate to be on the receiving end of his prosecution.
Well, there's a fellow who, I don't have it here, oh yeah, I've got a link on my site for it, who is having people sending in money to mail a copy of Vincent's book to every district attorney in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because all it would take is two or three of these district attorneys to take that thing. I mean, it's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Excuse the use of that.
And for people who aren't familiar, Vincent Bugliosi put Manson away, and he is the prosecutor who wrote a book about charging George W. Bush with murder. And he has a very interesting legal theory that by putting innocent soldiers into the battleground in Iraq, he caused them to commit murder. And so under the, an extension of the felony murder rule, he is equally complicit. And it certainly is an interesting and somewhat novel legal theory.
Well, it's not a novel legal theory to the Germans.
Yes.
Especially the ones that we prosecuted in Nuremberg.
Okay.
So it's not novel there. And,
mm-hmm.
So in any case, all we got to do is get a few of these people to take them to the grand jury and get the grand jury to come down with an indictment against these people. The world court is working, there's pressure internationally to do this. I know Rumsfeld had to be hustled out of France a few months ago by his Secret Service detail.
Yeah, Michael Ratner almost got him with a subpoena.
Almost got him.
Yeah.
And they had to hustle him out of there. Well, mm-hmm. If they're not going to go to jail, then I want to make damn sure they don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I want you to know that I fully support what you're doing here, and if I can help you connect, I did introduce you to Bruce Fein, a principled Republican who's been fighting for the Constitution.
Yep.
There are many others who've been on our program about the Downing Street memos, about other issues that have surfaced, and your website, you're gathering data there. You got a link to Downing Street, the White House emails case that we've talked about, the whole Libby case, the torture documents, Abu Ghraib, and so there's much, much more. There's a very rich archive that you are building, and your purpose is not just for entertainment or even for the historical value, but you really want to provide the grist for real investigations and prosecutions where they're indicated.
And listen, what your listeners can do, I mean, we're all of us are on, I don't think there's anybody in the world who's not on Obama's mailing list. We all get mail from him every day, sometimes two or three. If you just hit the return button and you tell him, Not another dime until you guys investigate.
It was the top issue at change.gov.
Yep.
And they've kind of sidestepped it, sanitized it, and said, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, they want to hear from us unless they don't want to hear from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and Steve, what kind of encouragement have you gotten that you didn't expect?
Well, I get a lot of email from people. I mean, everybody out there, the recent poll said that something just slightly over 50% of the American people want investigations at least. Maybe premature to say prosecution because you're prejudging the outcome of the investigation, but investigations at least. And so I get a lot of emails from people that are very frustrated that these guys just got to go home.
Yeah. And I'm looking here. I don't see the Conyers 487-page report. Is that up here somewhere?
I'm a one-man show here. So I'm sort of, in fact, I'm updating the site as I'm talking to you. So.
Okay, the Conyers report is really good. And if you need that, it's on my desktop. I could send it to you. Okay.
Please do send it to me.
Okay, I will. I'll do that during the break.
And I'll have to dig it up myself.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Steve, I wish you the best on this. And again, people should go to bushproject.com. And it's interactive. It's a work of art in progress. And from one citizen to another, I say thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
All right. Steve Pizzo, And again, the website, bushproject.com. We'll take a break and return. Joining us next, the former head of the California Arts Council, Barry Hesenius, makes the case that giving a little money to the arts could help our economy and help some real people right now. We'll talk about that coming up next, and Jason Leopold next hour, too. He'll talk about Senator Sheldon Whitehouse saying that he will not paper over the torture crimes of the Bush administration. That's all ahead, plus Melanie Sloan on Tom Daschle about an hour from now. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. We have podcasts. You can find them through the link on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The president takes the blame for the Daschle debacle.
I think I messed up. I screwed up.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where the Senate's working through amendments on the stimulus bill.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama, in an interview today with CBS News correspondent Katie Couric, said he failed to recognize it was sending the wrong signal to support Tom Daschle for health secretary after the former senator admitted his failure to pay some income taxes. This morning, Daschle withdrew his name from consideration.
What became apparent was that not only could this be a distraction, but I don't want my administration to be sending a message that there are two sets of rules, one for prominent people and one for ordinary folks who have to pay their taxes every day.
Mr. Obama says he's frustrated because Daschle would have been the best person to spearhead the drive for health care reform. Politico reporter Eamon Javers says the former Senate Democratic leader's withdrawal is a major setback.
They really wanted somebody who was an insider on Capitol Hill who could help shepherd this enormous health care reform through. Without somebody of that stature leading this effort, it's going to be a very, very tough deadlift for the Obama administration.
Mr. Obama's choice for the new role of chief performance officer has also withdrawn. Nancy Killefer failed to pay unemployment compensation tax on people who worked in her Washington home. Her job in the administration would have been to scrutinize the federal budget for wasteful spending. Now this.
Who's ready to hear some fun facts about GEICO? All right, let's give it a go, shall we? First, over 3 million drivers switched to GEICO last year. Second, GEICO received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Third, GEICO has been providing car insurance for over 70 years.
Whoa, hold up a tick. These aren't fun facts at all. These are financially sound facts. We've been duped.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
A sore throat can ruin a family outing, but my kids know I have the touch that can make it better. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges with the Liquid Medicine Center. You get the strongest medicine available without a prescription for fast relief that starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
When they feel better, we all enjoy ourselves.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
President Obama says worry about the economy keeps him up at night, but he thinks the administration and Congress are getting closer on a stimulus package. In the Senate, Democrats and Republicans are offering amendments to the $888 billion proposal.
Republicans blocked the first Senate amendment proposed by Democrat Patty Murray of Washington State that would have added $25 billion to the bill to fund more highway projects and create more jobs.
It's a scary time.
for millions of our families across America.
But Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell says a spending bill approaching $1 trillion scares him.
Our goal will be to pare it down and to target it right at the problem.
His proposals include more tax cuts and subsidizing lower mortgage interest rates. Lots more Senate votes are coming up. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As expected, the president has nominated Judd Gregg, a Republican senator from New Hampshire, to be Secretary of Commerce.
This is not a time for partisanship. This is not a time when we should stand in our ideological corners and shout at each other. This is a time to govern and govern well.
New Hampshire's Democratic Governor John Lynch has named a Republican, Bonnie Newman, to finish Gregg's Senate term. The new Attorney General was sworn in today.
This is a new day.
Justice Department employees filled the hallways to greet their new boss, Eric Holder, who made clear he's making a clean break from the policies of the last 8 years.
Let's commit ourselves to changing this place, but not really changing this place, taking it back to what it once was and always has to be. Okay?
Holder becomes the first African-American ever to hold the job. He promised Justice Department colleagues to work within the letter and the spirit of the Constitution.
Let's get to work.
Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
January was another dismal month for the auto industry. Chrysler sales dropped 55% from last year. GM was down 49%. Ford had a 40% drop. In this economy, Edward Lapham of Automotive News says consumers have put off big purchases.
There's no reason yet for car sales to pick up. And most experts, even the most optimistic experts, think it's going to be several months yet before there's a serious uptick.
Iran got the world's attention today. Launching a satellite for the first time, the same technology could be used to launch missiles. The White House says it's a matter of acute concern. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This Valentine's Day, give the gift that costs less than roses and lasts forever. Name a star after someone you love. I'm Rocky Mozo with International Star Registry. Call 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com and tell that special someone how much you care. For $54, we will send a beautiful personalized gift, and the new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Make it a Valentine's Day you will treasure forever. Call 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com and give the gift of a star.
You know, I've read the blogs, I've been in the automotive chat rooms, and I hear you. You want smoother acceleration, better gas mileage, and pumped-up engine performance. Yeah, well, Advanced Auto Parts wants you to have it, too. So right now, 12-ounce bottles of Valvoline Fuel Injector Cleaner are BOGO. Yeah, that's how we say, buy one, get one free in the biz. Get off the blogs and over to Advanced for some Valvoline Fuel Injector Cleaner, and grab an air filter while you're at it. Whatever you're working on, Advanced Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Do you support the arts?
And now, the art of Dwayne Eddy, the noise of twang, the sound of Peter Gunn.
That's a work of art by the Art of Noise. I typed A-R-T into the finder, and that's what I got. We're going to talk about the arts and how they can stimulate the troubled U.S. economy. And later this hour, Jason Leopold returns, the investigative reporter from pubrecord.org. We'll talk about torture and accountability. Joining me now is Barry Hessenius. He is the former director of the California Arts Council, a statewide organization funded by the state, and his was an appointment by former Governor Gray Davis way back there in the early aughts. Barry, good to talk with you again.
Oh, Peter, it's nice to hear your voice. How have you been?
I'm holding up okay.
I'm glad to hear it.
these are, well, I don't know where that came from. These are difficult times, but we're all doing everything we can. And just in the interest of full disclosure, when Barry was head of the California Arts Council, he hired me as a consultant to do a little work trying to develop a statewide arts radio show, and enjoyed doing that. We didn't get it off the ground, but it was interesting work. And Barry, you are still in your own capacity as a private citizen and a blogger, supporting the arts in every way you can. And I was struck by a piece that you published over the weekend about the way that in the debate over the so-called stimulus package in Washington, the arts are being trashed. And as I noted, there's about a $50 million item in there to fund the National Endowment for the Arts. And this is being derided not only by right-wing Republicans, but I heard Claire McCaskill, the senator from Missouri, who is a tightwad, I'll have to say that. First she was bashing corporate executives, and then she was saying that we ought to pull this NEA funding out of the stimulus package. I agree with her on the former, but not the latter. Tell us what the arts mean in terms of the dollar value to the California economy to start with, and maybe we'll zoom out to the nation as well.
Well, Peter, you know, the arts are funded in California now. We rank dead last out of the 50 states in per capita support. In California for the last 3 or 4 years, because of budget constraints and the fact that California is one of only 3 states in the country that requires a two-thirds vote to pass a budget, you've got the very safe and very right-of-the-center Republican districts who are able to hold up the budget. That's the mess that we're in right now.
Yeah, it's minority rule.
Yes, and so what we've got is state funding of the arts in California at 3 cents per capita.
Wow.
You know, New York is about $2.75. There is no European nation that spends less than $5 per capita on support of arts and culture. Increasingly, there have been economic studies, and we did one several years ago in California when I was still at the Arts Council, that show that there's over 10 to 20,000 nonprofit arts organizations within the state.
Mm-hmm.
And while they employ performers and artists, they also employ administrators and accountants and electricians and union people. A lot of those jobs are in jeopardy at this point because of the economy. We've seen several arts organizations throughout the state close their doors, and I expect to see more of that in 2009. And we've had a number of our larger institutions who have done significant layoffs, and those jobs are being lost.
Mm-hmm.
On a national basis, the $50 million and the $750 billion, and I understand it's now about $900 billion, is about one-tenth of one-tenth of one-tenth of 1%.
You got to slow down and say that again.
it's about one-tenth of one-tenth of 1%.
Wow.
You know, it is what we used to call at the state level budget dust. It means nothing more than that. But according to Americans for the Arts, that $50 million, because the NEA on average leverages $7 for each dollar in government funding it gets,
mm-hmm.
that represents about 14,400 jobs that would not be lost in the U.S. economy if that money goes through. You know, the Republicans always put this spin on arts funding. They've been against the NEA for 10 or 15 years, and they put this spin on it that the arts jobs aren't real jobs.
Yeah.
They're just as important as jobs in any other sector. And in California, for example, they are absolutely vital to two of our key industries, tourism, and one out of every $4 in California spent by tourists, whether they're California citizens or from other states or abroad, is spent on cultural activity. Over $17 billion a year is generated in economic activity just in the tourism and the restaurant industry, and the arts are key to both of those industries.
Yeah.
Nationally, Peter, there's about 100,000 nonprofit arts organizations. And in the aggregate, those organizations spend over $63 billion a year and pump that money right back into the economy.
Well, and when we look at this type of stimulus spending compared to the tax cuts that the Republicans keep insisting on, we know that the tax cuts actually cost us money, but that a dollar spent on arts, on infrastructure, on unemployment benefits, on increases in Social Security payments to retirees. All of those flow through the economy with a multiple in the range of each dollar spent gets you $1.70 or so in stimulus. And so, you know, they're not playing honestly with the numbers, and it's convenient for them to bash the arts because, oh, they'll pick out Mapplethorpe or, you know, the guy who made the painting of Jesus with urine, and, you know, they'll take something really extreme that may not even have been funded in any way, shape, or form by taxpayer dollars, and just use that as the image to bash this kind of funding. And I'm offended by it, and you know, it starts with the First Amendment, the freedom of expression, but it also really goes to culture. And these are people who don't value culture, and they can't really see it beyond some sort of an expense line item.
And what's puzzling, Peter, is that they say they value stimulus to the economy, they say they value jobs, they say they value economic activity, but they spin this in exactly the opposite way from the reality. The arts produce that economic kind of activity. For an average attendee to a nonprofit arts event spends, not counting the admission, but spends about $27 in additional money on transportation, on lodging, mm-hmm. on restroom costs, on parking, money that gets pumped into the local economy. That money creates jobs. And those people with those jobs pay taxes to local school districts, to the state, and to the federal government. So the money gets recycled, and they don't seem to accept that that's the fact. You know, yeah. $160 billion+ a year the arts are responsible for in the American economy.
Let's go to the phones. Here's Steve in Salinas, who's a teacher. Hi, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Barry Hessenius.
Okay, one, No Child Left Behind, because that program, the only thing that matters now in schools is tests. I was pretty much instructed not to have any art in my classroom because it takes away from test prep.
Really? So it's not forbidden, but they tell you to dial it back because the kids can't be tested on it, therefore...
Yeah, don't do it.
Wow.
And now I teach in a prison here in Soledad, and there are some of these students that I have, you know, they're all adults, some of them have incredible artistic talent. And I keep thinking, wow, if those talents had been discovered, you know, 20 years ago, they wouldn't be there now.
Yeah. Barry?
Well, a lot of our creative industries that pump our economy, that pump the dot-com revolution, et cetera, are critically important in the arts. When you talk about education, a study published by the Conference Board is a private company basically that serves the Fortune 1000 U.S. companies, a study called Ready to Innovate, suggested in surveys that 97% of all employers in the country and 99% of all school superintendents say that creativity is increasingly important to the U.S. workplace, and particularly the creative industries. 72% of all employers say creativity is a primary concern when they're hiring new people. And 85% of those employers can't find the creative applicants they seek. But we're falling farther behind in global competitiveness when we shun the arts and cut their funding.
Yeah. Steve, what do your students say?
Well, some of them are just incredibly good. And one other thing is I have some discipline problems sometimes. And sometimes when they started playing a guitar or something, all of a sudden they were better than the other students.
Yeah. All right, Steve, it's really hard to hear you on your phone there, but I appreciate your comments. And, Barry, what he was saying is that sometimes with behavioral problems, instead of sending a kid to detention, he handed him a guitar.
Well, and it's true, Peter, because there's been several studies that indicate that kids who are offered arts in high school and junior high are more likely to attend. They're less likely to cut class. They perform better on academic tests. They become team problem solvers instead of disruptive in the classroom. On almost every marker you can imagine, participation in the arts is good for student school performance on an overall basis.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something, Peter? A 2006 Harris poll on the attitudes of Americans towards arts education said that 93% of all Americans agree that the arts are vital to providing a well-rounded education.
Yeah.
And 54% rated the importance of arts education as a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10.
So if you're a sculptor, put your hammer and chisel down. If you're a painter, put your brush down. Give us a call. Let us know how the arts give you the opportunity to make a living or to share your skills and your cultural insights with other people. Lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My guest, Barry Hesenius, the former head or executive director of the California Arts Council.
They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. A lot of hallowed doors. They're closing all the libraries. Doubling my parking fees. They're building prisons in old schoolyards. Laura used to love it there. Puppet shows and marble stairs.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
This is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation
is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow. Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. It's pretty busy out there this afternoon. We've got a lot going on. In Salinas on Giles Street at Pajaro Street, we have a collision with no injuries. And in Castroville on County Road G12 at Castroville Boulevard, we have a vehicle blocking the eastbound lane. CHP is on the scene there. Cruising up to Santa Cruz, we have a collision with no injuries on the northbound 1 just north of Morrissey Boulevard. Also on the northbound 1 just north of La Fonda Avenue, we have a disabled vehicle in lane number 2. And on the southbound one, just north of Morrissey Boulevard, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gower area, we have a traffic hazard on the southbound 101, just north of Maston Avenue. Look out for the crate in lane number 2. That's your traffic on AM 540. Have a fantastic afternoon and keep it tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. Now live in Boston on AM 1510 WWZN. Good to have you with us, New England. We're talking with Barry Hesenius, the former head of the California Arts Council, about the NEA funding, a piddly $50 million in the almost $900 trillion stimulus package. We got plenty of money for banks. We got plenty of tax cut money for corporations, even though a lot of them don't pay taxes. And yet we hear mostly Republican but some Democratic voices saying, nah, don't give money to the arts. That's not a good stimulus for the economy. And Barry, one of your colleagues on this front, James, I think it's Canales of the Irvine Foundation, he published an op-ed in the San Francisco Chronicle on Tuesday, and people could read that if you log on to sfgate.com, and there's some pretty powerful arguments there. Barry, tell me from your knowledge, particularly of arts organizations in California, which are most vulnerable right now and may fail and have to shut down if we don't have some support forthcoming from Washington? We know Sacramento's broke, even though the guy who's running the government is nominally an artist, a performing artist.
Well, Peter, the unique thing about this current situation is that it's going to affect organizations of all sizes, in all disciplines, all throughout the state. Some of the very biggest cultural organizations, LACMA, the museum, the major museum.
Right, in, L.A. County.
In L.A. is laying off staff.
Well, they just got a bailout from Eli Broad, right?
Yes, and it's a good thing that they did, or they might have had to actually close their doors.
Mm-hmm.
The Sacramento Ballet has just canceled their entire season because of funding, and you're seeing that up and down the state. You know, if there's an estimate that as many as 10%, as high as 10% of arts organizations in the country could conceivably close their doors in 2009, but if you only have that, if it's only 5%, and that's very likely to happen, that's 100,000 jobs. If you then take the remaining arts organizations that may have to trim staffs in order to stay afloat, they estimate that as high as 20% of those organizations will exist, and you take only half of that, that's another 200,000 jobs that are lost.
Mm-hmm.
This $50 million is not going to protect all of those jobs, but it'll do something. It'll give some kind of leverage to protect some of the infrastructure around the country. It irks me, too, that the Republicans continue to tell the same lie over and over again until people believe it, that creativity is not important to our economy. And they just don't understand the global marketplace today.
They also suggest that this should all be funded privately, yet they want public money to bail out the blunders on Wall Street.
Well, exactly.
And, of course, as soon as it all is fixed, they want to privatize it, so any profits that accrue in the future go into private pockets, not the public pockets that bailed them out. It's really screwy.
It's nuts. Let's give more money to the people who caused the problem in the first place and no money to the proven aspects of what makes the economy work.
Mm-hmm. So are you optimistic?
I'm optimistic that President-elect Obama is arts-supportive. We finally have somebody back in the White House who understands the concept of creativity. I'm optimistic that he will push to keep this and not compromise on this. I'm optimistic that the key leadership in both the House and the Senate understand that the arts do support jobs in the economy and will fight to keep it. But you never know. You know, with the kind of pressure that's on everybody right now, compromises are always going to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't speak up, then the arts could go by the wayside. I would hope that every one of your listeners would somehow get in touch with their senator or their congressman or woman in the next 4 or 5 days by email or a simple phone call to their offices and tell them to support the NEA funding in the stimulus bill, to keep it in there, even at this ridiculously small level.
Yeah, Well, I'm sure on board with that, Barry, and I hope people will pick up the phone, send those emails. It doesn't help to write a letter. It takes too long to get through. But faxes, emails, phone calls all do have an impact. They tabulate them, and they say, wow. Well, and I want you to focus on Democrat Claire McCaskill, because she's singing from the wrong choir choir book there, and I think the Democrats and progressives need to remind her of that. And Barry, where else can people express themselves or put their efforts? Is it hopeless in Sacramento right now?
Well, the arts aren't likely in this budget to see any increase from where they've been. They'll probably remain. I hope they would remain at a flat status quo. I'm sure there's some pressure to just defund them entirely. And there has been money for the past couple of years in the education bill, not much, $100 million, which is a pittance in the state's $125 billion budget.
That's
but,
right.
But it's in there, and I hope that stays in there, too. You know, Peter, the other side, the neocons and the people who just believe that all art is either pornography or fluff, those people will make these phone calls and will send these emails to their legislators. And if we don't counter them, we're going to be out in the cold. And if we let that happen, then all we have to do is look in the mirror when we want to find somebody to blame.
Barry Hesenius, thank you very much. I appreciate your passion for the arts and artists too.
Good to talk to you.
Okay, you take care. That's Barry Hesenius on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Not again. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. What do we make of all these tax problems? First, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner discovered that he owed money. And then the president's nominee for chief performance officer quit because she was tardy paying about $1,000 in employment taxes for the household staff. And being the nominee for chief performance officer, she knows a failure to perform when she sees one. And now Tom Daschle, who discovered that he owed money, has now taken his name out. Yikes! Republicans are going to have to update that line about Democrats embracing taxes. But it's also a reminder that some people who reach a certain income level have options that the rest of us don't have. They seem to be able to take a pay-what-you-feel-like approach to taxes. They can legitimately wonder, does free use of a car count? If you get paid for a job but they don't send you a 1099, does that count? They pay what they think they owe, and then it's up to the IRS to try to get the rest. While for most of us, the IRS takes your money up front, and they make you try to get it back. You know what occurs to me? This stimulus is all borrowed money, but clearly there are plenty of people who could afford to pay more. Mr. Daschle just wrote a check for $140,000. I know we mustn't raise taxes on the rich, but how about just checking to see if the rich are paying what they already owe? Or just nominate more people to the cabinet. By my reckoning, if you nominated 6,300,000 people with tax problems similar to Mr. Daschle's, you'd have it paid off by March. Now this.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I'd always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
House and protect your investments.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Vicksur Coast.
Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable.
Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144.
I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up at the top of next hour, Melanie Sloan in her weekly visit. She'll be taking a victory lap over Tom Daschle, deciding to withdraw his name for consideration as the Cabinet Secretary of Health and Human Services. It used to be called HEW. Sometimes I have to make that transition. And Jason Leopold's all over all the news. He publishes now at the Public Record. Their website is pubrecord.org. And I was sick last week at this time and missed you, Jason. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, hope you're feeling better, Peter.
I'm getting better every day. Yeah,
getting better every day.
It's a malingering kind of thing. I wish it were all over, but it's mostly gone. And
yeah.
Some people have it worse than I did.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Well, thank you very much, and you've been busy. I wanted to start off here.
Yeah.
Which tab did I have pulled up here at the Public Record? Let's start off with Tom Daschle, because that is the big story of the day, and we will delve into it again with Melanie in half an hour or so. But I really think this is so healthy, and I know it's a setback for those who want health care reform and want it right away, but it's not coming right away. We can't afford it, and the politics of navigating through all that will be extremely difficult and time-consuming. And on the one hand, Jason, I'm not Tom Daschle's biggest fan, but I recognized Obama's pragmatic choice here as a guy who does know how to navigate those corridors on Capitol Hill and who is intimately familiar with the mistakes that were made in the attempt of Hillary health care reform in 93.
Exactly.
That was on the plus side. But he's close-minded about single payer, and that flies in the face of my ideals. And also these recent revelations of how he made money after he left the Senate and the car and driver tax-free, those add up to,
major negative points.
Yeah, conditions that we simply can't accept.
Exactly. Especially at a time when the country's going through this sort of economic turmoil. I mean, not paying your taxes is obviously not a good thing, no matter what the time frame we're talking about or what's happening in the economy. But it is quite disturbing, and it does, seem to be somewhat of a little bit of a trend. I mean, another person in the, I think it's the Office of Management and Budget, if I'm not mistaken, a nominee, mm-hmm. also has tax problems.
Oh, I thought Geithner was the only major one.
Through her name today as well. So,
I missed that.
It's actually, that's under the radar today, and obviously because of Tom Daschle.
Mm-hmm.
But, the revelations are disturbing. I think that, somebody who could replace Daschle and perhaps should have even been considered in the first place, maybe Howard Dean.
Oh, that's on everybody's lips. And
yeah.
he's a medical doctor. He reformed health care in Vermont. It was part of his platform when he was screaming, running for president. And I think he'd be a great choice. So Dean really showed that he could buckle down, didn't require a lot of FaceTime or ego stroking in the media as chair of the Democratic National Committee, did an excellent job on the 50-state strategy, and, you know, herding cats is what the DNC chair does.
Yeah, and taxes.
Well, we hope so.
Or at least that's, you know, what we think.
Right.
But, you know, the Daschle issue certainly is a distraction, and health care reform is needed. Excuse me. And, you know, I think it's great that he withdrew his name. I have to say that I'm a bit disturbed by, you know, the fact that Obama comes out and says, you know, he's going to stand by him. He's not a good candidate. This does become a distraction, and we just don't need it. You know, the country doesn't need it right now when people are struggling, to obtain health care. And the likelihood is, Peter, is that it would have been very difficult for him, you know, to get any of his policies through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fact. You know, that's something that has to be that people really need to think about. So.
Yeah, but, you know, since he's now one of them, he wasn't technically a lobbyist, but he was operating in that zone. He made big money there, just like John Breaux and Trent Lott are as lobbyists or advisors now in Washington. And so, you know, in some ways, you have to acknowledge that most of the candidates for this post who have operated inside Washington might have some of the same problems. But that doesn't mean that there is this limited talent pool and that we simply have to accept these people, warts
point.
And all.
Exactly. I think that's an important point to make. So with that said, you know, it's move on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just hope there's a better candidate out there that doesn't have some of these problems. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's you start taking a look at some of the papers that were filed with the Senate Finance Committee, certainly in terms of how he was making his money, and I can understand why people would be upset.
Well, Jason, do you know any law firms that need somebody like me who doesn't have a law degree?
I'm hoping that, you know, I can get a get a job first, so I'll beat you to it.
Now, one of the things, before we jump to your top story of the day at the Public Record,
mm-hmm.
I have unleashed myself. I have ungagged myself. And now that Eric Holder is safely confirmed as the new Attorney General, I would like to enlist you and anybody else who's willing to support me in calling for an end to the gag order on Cybele Edmonds.
Yeah,
Well, first of all, we need to unmask the state secret privilege that was asserted more often by the Bush administration than anyone prior. It is not a law. It is simply an assertion that courts have been deferential to, and that's got to stop, because there was never any proof that Cybele Edmonds telling the truth about what she knew from the FBI wiretaps that she translated while she was working there, or the problems in the inner workings of the FBI that she exposed. There's never been any indication that those would compromise national security. They would simply embarrass lawbreakers and wrongdoers inside the Bush administration.
Right.
And so if Holder is to earn my respect, and this doesn't have to occur on day one or even day 101, but somewhere this year, I want to see him review the gag orders that were issued by Ashcroft and doubled down by Gonzalez. And I want Cybele Edmonds to be able to speak freely.
Yeah, I think that you're definitely going to see early on a review of the state secrets privilege. And, you know, it's funny that you bring up Cybele Edmonds, because that's obviously one story that seems to have just been lost at this point.
Well, and then
there's so much important information that she has, mm-hmm. crucial, that needs to be revealed.
She's a courageous American. She wasn't born here, but she believes in our Constitution, I believe, more than many of the people who have raised their right hand and taken an oath to protect and defend it.
Yeah, and I think that, Eric Holder certainly has his work cut out for him, and I think it's important for everyone to hold his feet to the fire to make sure that, he upholds the oath that he took.
Mm-hmm.
That will really involve quite a bit of transparency in order to take a look at, what the previous administration had done. And, taking a look at, not only state secrets privilege, but the, executive privilege policies which became more or less a policy in order to, get a look at some of these secret memos.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that, I'm hoping that one thing that we can sort of get from this is a look at Dick Cheney and George Bush's interviews with Patrick Fitzgerald,
mm-hmm.
Which were withheld as a on executive privilege.
Right. Jason Leopold with us from the Public Record. Visit his website, pubpubrecord.org. They are a nonprofit investigative journalism site. They could use your help. And if you're in a position to give them a donation or a bailout, form a bank and get them a bailout, that's fine with me.
Bailout would be great, Peter.
All the information is right there on the homepage at pubrecord.org. Jason, you've been all over the Karl Rove cases down the road here. What happened on January 16th? How can Bush claim to extend executive privilege and some form of immunity to Karl Rove after his presidency expires? It was breathtaking what he claimed during the presidency, but to say that that survives his exit is just bizarre.
Well, Peter, let me just tell you that I spoke to, since that letter was revealed, I spoke to at least about, at this point, 10 constitutional scholars. All of them have said that they have never, ever seen the executive privilege not only executive privilege, what they're calling it absolute immunity, which is what Bush gave Karl Rove in this letter, absolute immunity, and they've never seen anything like this before. They think it's absolutely, absolutely unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's really important that I want to put out there is that Karl Rove and Robert Luskin, requested, who is Karl Rove's attorney, requested this letter. Karl Rove knew that he was going to be subpoenaed. Karl Rove knew that was going to be forced one way or another to, speak about the prosecution of Don Siegelman, political prosecution, as well as the firings of the U.S. attorneys. So he requested this letter. And what's very interesting here is that this letter was written by Fred Fielding without any consultation from the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
So usually in the past when, issues of executive privilege or absolute immunity have come up with regard to, these same Bush administration officials, the Department of Justice would, weigh in on the matter and do a review. At this point, it just became, the White House counsel saying, you don't have to speak. In fact, you have absolute immunity for life.
Mm-hmm.
It's unheard of that something like this would happen. And obviously, what I think got lost in the whole story is what prompted this is that John Conyers, the House Judiciary Chairman, he actually subpoenaed, without anyone knowing, Harriet Myers on January 9th this month.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I put out a story there on that, and this was revealed in these two letters that were there were actually two letters. One was a letter that was sent to Karl Rove's attorney. The other was a letter that was sent to Harriet Myers' attorney,
mm-hmm.
Harriet Myers' attorney George Manning in Texas. And John Conyers, on January 9th, subpoenaed her to testify about the politicization of the Justice Department. And that there was a response. Basically, the response was she cannot testify. And here's a copy of a letter from Fed Fielding that says she has absolute immunity. So it's sort of strange that Conyers would have done that. But and by the way, I have that letter. You know, if people want to see it, it's on the on our website.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason it's strange is because there's actually a court case that's ongoing right now.
Well, and that's why Conyers delayed his service of the subpoena on Roe, right?
That's correct. And but the it's with Harriet Myers, there's an appeal that last year. The you know, the Conyers and the House Judiciary Committee subpoenaed Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton, former chief of staff, to testify. And you know, the Bush administration went to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals issued a stay. Conyers Committee filed another appeal, and February 18th is when we're going to get a decision in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Where Obama's Justice Department is going to weigh in on it. So that's why I said it's sort of strange that he would have issued her another subpoena January 9th, but there it is in this letter, a confirmation that you know, he subpoenaed her and she declined to testify.
Jason Leopold with us. Go to his website, pubrecord.org. That's the public record. And you can read more about many of these issues. Coming back, we'll talk about Dick Cheney and some of those Halliburton shares. Did he ever donate those options or shares to a charity? He said he would, and I've never gotten proof. We'll take a break and return for more here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Monterey County, we have a traffic collision with no injuries on Highway 68 at Toro Park. And we're still monitoring a couple of incidents from earlier. In Salinas on Gull Street at Pajaro Street, we have a collision with no injuries. And in Santa Cruz, we had a collision on the southbound one just north of Morrissey. Those vehicles are being moved off the roadway right now. In weather, we're having another beautiful day with lots of sunshine. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows in the mid-40s. Here are some temperatures. In Monterey, it's 63 degrees, and in Salinas and Santa Cruz, it's 65 degrees. Well, that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Enjoy your afternoon. Peter B. will be right back.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven. Between OSA, Open Systems Architecture, you can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
If you transfer your IRAs, 401ks, or any retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, and $700,000 becomes $770,000. My name is Stephen DeJohn, president of the DeJohn Advisory Team. I was on the cover of Senior Market Advisor magazine because I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. And with securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your broker or banker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 866-515-6669 to receive your free video and brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup at one of our nationwide locations. Call 866-515-6669. It's a new year and it's time for change. Call 866-515-6669.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I have good news. We'll be able to provide you a free speed zone coming up next hour. It says, Rocky, my wonder dog, is here, and today he hasn't chewed any cables. Good boy, Rocky. That's a good boy.
It's a shame the way you mess around with the man. It's a shame the way you hurt me. It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. I'm sitting all alone on the telephone, waiting for your call when you don't call at all.
And Melanie Sloan will kick off the free speech zone for us next hour. She was on the PBS NewsHour Monday night saying that Tom Daschle ought to go. And he got the message Tuesday morning from her and from the editorial page of the New York Times, among others, and decided to get out. Jason Leopold with us from pubrecord.org. Hey, Jason, I got a website you got to check out.
Uh-huh.
Bushproject.com.
Bushproject.com.
Steve okay. Pizzo is a friend of mine. He helped break the story of the savings and loan scandal in the 1980s.
Oh, no kidding.
And he's a great guy. He's semi-retired, and he was just so fed up with the Democrats bobbing and weaving on whether or not to investigate.
Wow, that I'm at this website now, and this looks like quite an undertaking here.
Well, he's trying to
your friend.
He's trying to build an archive there of all the information that
what I'm looking at.
The prosecutor would need, and there's plenty of it. And of course, we have the the first person testimony of Bush and Cheney as they acknowledge some of their crimes in their exit interviews.
Right.
So, if there's anything you'd like to contribute there, Steve Pizzo is the proprietor.
Oh, this is great.
Feel free to get in touch.
Well, thank you for that, and I will link to it as well.
And
public record.
I want to get the latest on Dick Cheney, Halliburton, the bribery case out of Nigeria, and whether you know if he ever followed through on his promise to donate his Halliburton stock to charity so he could be our vice president.
Yeah, well, that's funny that you mentioned that because I've been trying to actually get access to some of that information, particularly whether or not he, has been donating his deferred compensation and stock to charity and have had no luck. Halliburton would not give me any information saying that's private.
Mm-hmm.
The White House has no information on that, or at least that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And no luck ever getting in touch with Dick Cheney or his spokespeople. But a long-running
He did call me on Inauguration Day. He had some time on his hands, and he said that the accident that put him in a wheelchair was actually a late-night trip to the shredder.
Yeah. Would not be surprised. I'm sure that's, a big shredder that he has there. But the latest with Halliburton, for quite some time now, they have been under criminal investigation for a Cheney-era bribery probe that took place with the Nigerian government. And Halliburton just recently paid, or at least I should say that they have an agreement in principle, which looks like it will go through, to pay the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Justice Department $559 million to settle this criminal investigation into bribing the Nigerian government, which took place, these bribes took place during Dick Cheney's tenure at Halliburton. And this was bribes to win a lucrative construction contract for a natural gas liquefaction plant in Nigeria. And, what was going on there is, first of all, I should say that, Cheney was actually asked about this issue, this the bribes, and he said he had no idea. But the bribery, he was unaware of it while he was there. But the investigation itself was launched in 2003 when a former executive of this of a French company called Technip, which was a member of this consortium project that was building this natural gas liquefaction plant, had more or less disclosed some documents that showed Halliburton, was paying about $2 million in bribes to the Nigerian government.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who was responsible for paying these bribes was, surprise, surprise, a person that was brought into Halliburton by Dick Cheney, handpicked, an old friend. And, so that...
Was it Scooter?
That would have certainly, I'm sure Scooter's someplace in here because these guys all seem to be, connected one way or another.
Yeah.
But it's quite disturbing. The whole investigation and the bribes and the fact that this took place under Cheney, along with many other disturbing issues that took place at Halliburton during his tenure. But this is a violation of the U.S. Corrupt Foreign Practices Act, and it's a settlement that will likely be approved, and that's it. It pretty much ends there without ever, linking Cheney while many people have said Cheney was aware of it, there's no substantial, documentary proof.
Mm-hmm.
And
any payments to the D.C. madam that you found in this file?
None whatsoever.
All right. Well, Jason, thanks.
More issues that were scrubbed.
Thanks for your digging. Thanks for your reporting. Always great to talk with you.
Thanks, Peter. I'm glad you're feeling better.
All right. Jason Leopold, the public record on the web, pubrecord.org. There's a lot of great reporting there. Check it out. We'll take a break for top of the hour news and get more on Tom Daschle's withdrawal. Melanie Sloan from Crew will join me next here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama says he screwed up on the Daschle nomination.
It's frustrating for me, and it's something that I take responsibility for.
Mr. Obama was interviewed by CBS News correspondent Katie Couric just hours after former Senator Tom Daschle withdrew his name from consideration for Secretary of Health and Human Services. The president said Daschle's failure to pay taxes was an honest mistake, but defending him created a perception problem.
This is something that was my fault. I continue to consider Tom Daschle an outstanding public servant. And what we're going to do now is make sure that we get somebody confirmed and start moving forward.
But there's more. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
Daschle is one of two nominees who stepped down today because of tax problems. Nancy Killefer, the president's choice for a top budget position, also withdrew, citing a tax lien on her house from 3 years ago. And while Timothy Geithner was confirmed as Treasury Secretary, 34 senators voted against him because of $34,000 in unpaid taxes. And it's not just tax problems. A federal grand jury investigation forced New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson to step aside as Secretary of Commerce nominee. He was replaced today by Republican Senator Judd Gregg, who once voted to eliminate the department he's been selected to lead.
Former Justice Department official Eric Holder returned today as Attorney General.
It is great to be back at the Department of Justice.
Holder's swearing in was historic. He's the nation's first black Attorney General. dueling amendments as the Senate debates an economic stimulus package. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports on today's developments.
The First Amendment was sponsored by Democrat Patty Murray of Washington to add $25 billion more for infrastructure, like highways and water systems. A majority voted for it, but not the 60 needed. Another proposal comes from Republican Mitch McConnell. He wants the government to insure mortgages at a rock-bottom interest rate of 4%.
That would reduce monthly mortgage payments and increase demand for homes.
McConnell also wants to reduce the total cost of the bill, now approaching $1 trillion. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The more you learn about conditions at that Georgia peanut plant, the more you wonder why there wasn't a salmonella outbreak earlier. CBS News correspondent Jeff Glore talked to a former worker.
He says there were unsanitary conditions in the plant. He says cockroaches were a constant problem. There were holes in the roof, things that were noted by investigators in their report. But he also talks about things that investigators did not note. Most notably, he said one time he saw a rat that was dry roasting with the peanuts.
The plant was closed last month after it was determined to be the source of salmonella that sickened more than 500 people, killing 8. Peanut Corporation of America is run by Stuart Parnell, a member of the Agriculture Department's Peanut Standards Board. The Dow gained 141 points today, closing at 8,078. This is CBS News.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from the hood of your car.
Hey, don't worry about your engine, because I got it covered.
Yeah, well, you are the hood, but I'm still going to my Ford dealer.
All right, road trip.
Yeah, the Works Fuel Saver package is only $29.95 or less after a mail-in rebate.
Peanuts.
Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection.
I can't beat that. Although, I do know a guy.
No, thanks.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for $10 rebate details through 3/31/09.
This economy is changing family dynamics. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive takes a look.
The divorce rate said to be falling because couples can't afford to separate, the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers telling USA Today. And when a mortgage foreclosure forces people to look for a new home, 3 out of 4 are staying with family and friends. Also, it's a lot more common for middle-aged Americans to have mom or dad living in a spare room because the plan had been for the senior citizens to sell their home and move to a retirement community.
The value has changed in terms of people's houses.
Barbara McVicker, author of a book on caring for elderly parents. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Young people are so accustomed to using their cell phones for conversations and texting that they hardly ever use landlines. The College of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, says it's taking the phone lines out of its dorms. The savings will be used to improve cell phone signals and internet connections. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Who's ready to hear some fun facts about GEICO? All right, let's give it a go, shall we? First, over 3 million drivers switched to GEICO last year. Second, GEICO received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Third, GEICO has been providing car insurance for over 70 years.
Whoa, hold up a tick. These aren't fun facts at all. These are financially sound facts. We've been duped.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
A sore throat can ruin a family outing, but my kids know I have the touch that can make it better. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges with the Liquid Medicine Center. You get the strongest medicine available without a prescription for fast relief that starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
When they feel better, we all enjoy ourselves.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Is it possible to get around Washington, D.C. without a limo and a driver? Melanie Sloan says yes.
She's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner.
There's a thing called the Metro.
But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady. Talking about that little lady. And the lady is mine.
And fresh. From a stellar performance on the PBS NewsHour Monday night, Melanie Sloan joins us, Executive Director of CREW. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You want to take a victory lap, Melanie?
Well, I don't think it's actually a victory. I mean, it's probably a good thing that Daschle's out, but, you know, we can't really feel good about how this has all happened.
Well, you must have a don't gloat policy there, CREW.
Oh, no, I definitely gloat at times. Remember, I've taken victory laps, when people who we've been, when John Martha gets indicted, victory laps were there.
Well, and certainly nobody takes great pleasure in seeing the vetting process exposed as wanting and the Obama administration on the defensive again over a cabinet-level post we saw pay-to-play in the Bill Richardson investigation, and we've seen tax problems with Geithner and the pardon problem with Eric Holder. I don't take pleasure in that, but I am relieved because, number one, it shows that there is some level of toothiness, teeth, in the Obama ethics policies, even if he had to be pressed to enforce them, or at least embarrassed into it in this case. And I think that this is a bungle avoided, that if Daschle had gotten confirmed because of his friends and colleagues in the Senate, that this is an issue that would have come back to haunt him, and it could have dogged the health care reform efforts, which I consider very important to this incoming administration.
It could have, but which are you more troubled by, the fact that Daschle was this Washington insider or his tax problems?
The insider.
The insider, but it's not what defeated him. What defeated him today was his tax problems.
That's right.
The fact is Mr. Daschle hadn't paid approximately $150,000 in taxes, and earlier today another person withdrew from another cabinet, not a cabinet job, but a Senate-confirmed job, a woman named Nancy Kilfer, and she withdrew over $900 in unpaid unemployment taxes.
Now, that seems to be a little stringent to me. I've acknowledged or admitted to you or confessed maybe that I've been audited by the IRS five times. Now, I've always prevailed because I keep good records and I only deduct what I'm allowed to deduct. But I do understand that Dave and Betty sent me an email saying that, the tax code is too complicated, and this is one expression of that.
And it is really complicated, and I think these, and we're learning all the more, it's more complicated, we learn that all the time. And I do think it's too tough that Nancy Kilfer had to withdraw her nomination today. But when she withdrew over $900, I really didn't see how they could keep Tom Daschle with $150,000 in back taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it struck me as incredibly sexist. Somehow she was expendable, but Tom Daschle wasn't. And at one point, Mr. Obama had said that Tom Daschle was uniquely qualified to be Health and Human Services Secretary. Nobody's uniquely qualified. They may be very qualified, but there are other qualified people as well. And yet, somehow he was willing to go to the mat for Tom Daschle, and he wasn't for Nancy Kilfer. I found that really troubling, and I think that probably the inability to justify the different decisions regard to both people ultimately contributed to Tom Daschle withdrawing today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting point. I'm just learning about the Kilfer case from you, and so I'll have to digest that a little bit. But on the face of it, it does seem to be unfair, and it's probably not being measured in the amount of taxes owed. It is the amount of ink and pixels being spilled over these embarrassments to Obama.
Right, and that I think is a big problem here. There doesn't seem to be any kind of standard, nothing consistent that we can understand. For example, you know, much more troubling for me even than Tom Daschle getting confirmed would have had he been confirmed, is that Timothy Geithner did. Timothy Geithner didn't pay taxes, and he's now heading up the IRS. And what does he say? Taxes are complicated. Well, you know what? I bet this whole financial recovery thing, that's probably complicated too.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't give me a lot of confidence in the man, and yet they let him go through because he's somehow going to be the savior of the American economy. And so now we have a savior exception. Again, I'm troubled by the lack of consistency, the lack of a standard, and I think that's, in fact, you know, what took down Tom Daschle today. Now, I think we should revisit the issue about Tom Daschle and his being, you know, the Washington insider issue. Tom Daschle was not, in fact, a lobbyist as Mr. Obama's ethics policy discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a registered lobbyist. But to be a registered lobbyist, you have to spend more than 30% of your time actually lobbying. And Mr. Daschle is one of those sort of super lobbyists where they come up with a legislative strategy rather than lobbying per se.
Yeah, he would have line lobbyists to try to push the specifics of a bill for him. That's beneath his pay grade.
That's right. But Mr. Daschle is, in fact, the quintessential Washington story. He was the majority leader, a very powerful position. He immediately gets out and leverages it to become incredibly highly paid, and then he wants to go back in. But we're talking about Tom Daschle but as if somehow he's unique. But, you know, Trent Lott left as the senator from Mississippi, and he left his term a little early so he could get out from under the two-year lobbying ban on senators and only have a one-year lobbying ban. John Breaux, senator from Louisiana, got out and made a fortune as a lobbyist, too. So this is sort of the everyday story. The thing is, we don't generally know exactly how much money those members have made because they don't then file financial disclosure forms when they're looking to go back, because they haven't looked to go back into government, so
right.
We know how much they're making.
Now, I want to hear Trent Lott's sob story again, because when he resigned, he said, these rules are too tough. I can't be having lunch at McDonald's all the time.
Exactly. But the fact of the matter is, Mr. Obama isn't embarrassed about Mr. Daschle over the Washington insider, and he didn't pull him because he's a Washington insider. So we still have an ethics policy that is probably not the policy that most Americans who voted and supported for Mr. Obama because of his platform on ethics reform, it's still not what really would make people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really what Mr. Obama is apologizing for tonight, as he apologizes for the demise of his nominee.
Let's talk to David in San Francisco. Welcome, David. You're on the Peter B. Show with Melanie Sloan.
Yeah, hi, Peter and Melanie. Hey, I wanted to ask you, from an insider kind of point of view, or knowledgeable of D.C., let's say, Obama has told us that he won't be able to pull off everything unless we stay on his ass. We've got to, you know, maintain pressure on him to keep him honest, I think was his expression.
Well, he says, make me do it. That's
a quote
from FDR.
Yeah. So with that in mind, there are two examples I called last week regarding a huge dam spill out in Tennessee. This is 120 times bigger than the Exxon Valdez.
That's the clean coal ash.
Right. And this thing has not been declared a disaster yet. It's poisoning 300 miles of the Tennessee River, the lower Ohio River, then the lower Mississippi River.
And, David, let me just interject. On the same broadcast of the NewsHour that Melanie Sloan appeared on Monday, they broadcast an update on that spill, that coal ash spill. And they permitted a spokesperson for the power plant to declare that tests have not shown the water to be contaminated. And they let that statement stand. And then at the very end, about 8 minutes later, Jim Lehrer read a script saying that, well, the EPA reports that have just been released show that the water is seriously contaminated.
Right.
I was troubled by that report, at least by the way they permitted that to occur.
Right. And so as somebody knowledgeable about D.C. and that we've got to keep Obama honest, this is one example. The second one has to do with Gaza. And apparently in like 6 or 8 hours, a rescue ship for the people of Gaza is going to arrive on shore out there. And so, you know, this should be something in the headlines, and it should be something to watch out for. I think Cynthia McKinney tried to land on shore.
She was on one of the previous boats, yes.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, did Cindy Sheehan or Jimmy Carter or somebody else try to land on?
No, there have been some members of European and Greek parliaments, but that's all. But let's come back to the Washington question. Melanie, what's your comment on how we can keep Obama in compliance with his own stated ethics rules?
Well, I think it's up to all of us to be critical when he's not in compliance. Certainly, we at Crew have been trying to do that the past couple of days. I don't think we've been winning any friends in the administration talking about this problem that he's had both with the taxes and with ethics policy that doesn't seem to meet his rhetoric. But I think it's important for all of us to be critical, and for your listeners out there to write to the White House and tell them when they're dissatisfied, and let them know that this is not what Mr. Obama promised, and we are going to hold his feet to the fire on these things.
Well, and we shouldn't cut slack to Democrats just because, like in my case, I'm not a registered Democrat, but I supported Obama. I generally support Democrats at elections. But that doesn't mean that I can't see corruption or ethics violations, and we need to hold ourselves and our people to the same standards that we attempted to hold Tom DeLay and that crew to in the last 8 years. Melanie, thanks for the work you're doing, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good, Peter.
Melanie Sloan at Crew, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Coming back after the break, we've just learned Phil Angelides will join us. He's the new leader of the Apollo Alliance, and I want to get his take on the shaping up stimulus package and whether it's got enough green and green jobs in it. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Monterey County on Highway 68, just west of the 1, we have a two-vehicle collision involving a patrol car. And on Highway 68 at Toro Park, we have a collision with no injuries. Moving on up to Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on the southbound 1 at the Highway 152 off-ramp. We have no further details with that. In weather, we are enjoying a gorgeous evening with clear skies throughout the Tri-Counties. Expect temperatures to drop down into the low 40s tonight. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming cloudy in the afternoon. Expect some rain in the evening. We'll have highs in the mid-60s, and south winds will be 10 to 15 miles per hour. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic evening, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, now live in Boston on AM 1510, the powerful WWZN. Joining me now is the former state treasurer of California. He served two terms, challenged Arnold for governor, and he is now the head of the Apollo Alliance, which is a collaboration of industry and labor trying to develop our new green-collar economy and the green future. And, Phil, thank you for joining me today. I wanted to check in with you and see if you feel that the stimulus debate in Washington is shaping a package that is simply green enough. Is it really a baseline investment in the green economy we're trying to build?
Well, look, I think that there's very substantial progress. I mean, what a world of difference between 2008 and 2009 with the change of administration and new progressive, bigger majorities in the House and the Senate. So first of all, in context, if this stimulus bill goes through as it is proposed, it will be the most significant investment in clean energy and green jobs, moving us away from oil-dependent economy than we've had in this country's history. Now, having said that, we always need to be pushing the envelope, but there's substantial money in this package for energy conservation in buildings, in public buildings, to weatherize homes. There's substantial money in this package for loan guarantees for renewable energy. There's substantial money in this package for research and development that would spur new clean technologies. So there's a very – this is a huge step forward, but I think we want to keep pushing. I want to make sure there's less money right now in the Senate bill for green jobs training than there is in the House bill, and it's critical that as we invest in the new green-collar economy, we train America's workers to fill the high-paying jobs in that sector.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also critical, I might add, that we do more, not less, in supporting public transportation.
Well, I was just about to raise that because, for me, there's more highway money in there than mass transit money.
Yeah, I think this is an area, well, I mean, you know, the proponents of the current funding would say, well, there's more road projects ready to go. But I think this is an area where we've got to push. We've got to say loudly that we want as much as possible for transit. And if there are investments in roadways, they really need to be fixing existing roadways, strengthening the urban infrastructure, not building new highways that'll just facilitate suburban leapfrog. So,
mm-hmm.
but I want to put this in context. This is a huge tectonic shift in the nature of investments in this country, and I applaud the Obama administration, the House leadership, and the Senate leadership for thinking as big as they're thinking.
Now,
thank God, Peter, we're having this kind of debate.
Yeah, I agree. Peter DeFazio, the congressman from Southern Oregon, has been pushing harder for more infrastructure money. And we know that that's much better stimulus, and it leaves us with a hard object than the tax cuts that the Republicans keep promoting. How do you think this is going to sort out in the Senate?
Well, I'm not a prognosticator. I just think the winds are blowing behind direct investment in our economy, not tax cuts, that may just be saved and not invested in our economy. And I also think there's a little difference in how you look at tax breaks. If they're highly targeted, well formulated, there's an argument for them. But just general tax cuts, I think you have to be leery of. Now, I will say this. I do think there is an argument at this critical time for bolstering the wallets of working families who are barely getting by.
Mm-hmm.
It serves no one's interest right now to see families extending in terms of debt, not being able to pay their mortgage, not being able to pay their bills. So I do think some elements of this, like extending unemployment insurance, making sure that working families get a tax break so they can pay their bills, very important part of economic stabilization. But the bulk of the investments need to go into building the new American economy. And back to your point, wherever possible, we ought to favor transit over roads. Wherever possible, we ought to favor fixing urban roadways versus extending suburban highways. Wherever possible, we ought to be directing resources that have real lasting value for the new clean energy economy.
Mm-hmm. And Phil Angelides, I'm looking at your website at apolloalliance.org. And for
Thank you. For our listeners
in Boston, I see that the Boston Green Justice Coalition has just joined.
Absolutely.
What do we know about
them? And we're very excited to have them with us. And all over the country, what you see are ground-up organizations that are pushing for green-collar job training programs, economic opportunity in cities, urban retrofit programs. And I will say, Peter, I mean, just to put this, let me just, you know, note a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
The stimulus bill, the House version includes, $3.5 billion, for example, for energy efficiency and conservation block grants. The
mm-hmm.
Senate version, about $4 billion. That's money that will flow to local communities, to nonprofits locally, to undertake energy efficiency, conservation work in communities and put people to work and also green our neighborhoods. I mean, again, a very substantial leap in commitment. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So there's big money in here, and I think what's important is to make sure the money moves, that it moves down to communities, and that we keep our eye on the ball. Because I will say one thing. One adrenaline boost isn't going to build a clean energy economy.
Right, and I'm also concerned that the money going to the states will be used to backfill programs that they can't currently pay for instead of really being targeted at these future investments that we really need to make now. We've lost a lot of time already.
Well, I think that's a fair point, and I do think Congress is doing a pretty good job of not just saying to the states, here's a bunch of money, by the way, so that you can now pay for the hole that you created by cutting taxes willy-nilly in many
mm-hmm.
states.
I
mean, California, a lot of tax cuts for the wealthiest Californians, business tax loopholes, borrowing. But by and large, the money here is pretty darn targeted,
mm-hmm.
very specific initiatives that will achieve the policy result. Look, overall, I'm very pleased.
But Phil, I got to run, but I thank you for joining us today, and keep the pressure on.
I'd like everyone to go to our website because we're keeping people informed about transit, about green jobs training.
ApolloAlliance.org. Phil Angelides, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tomorrow Matters is back on air Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Green Talk Radio for the Central Coast.
I'm Deborah Lindsay.
And I'm Spencer Lindsay.
Join us as we dazzle you with local solutions to environmental issues.
We'll be talking about things like climate change,
green building,
alternative energy and transportation,
water conservation,
organic farming,
and bicycles,
and a whole lot more.
Join us on KRXA 540 a.m. Sunday mornings at 10.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996, For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Where they made the Walmart construction stop. Most of the stores are mom and pop. And a lot of them are pop and pop, too. Marijuana's legal here. Freedom's what it's all about. You know, the trouble with smoking too much pot? You run out. Imaginary friends are suspect of being codependent. Spoons aren't safe. Someone's mind might bend it. Pretty soon, you know, everybody in town's gonna come to see our show. Except for maybe Robert the Umbrella Guy, because the man walks too slow.
Hey, Richard Stockton here with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Well, in Peter B.'s America, contraception would not be controversial. It would be widely available, on demand, as we say. Joining me now is Eleanor Smeal. She was twice president of the National Organization for Women. She is the publisher of Ms. Magazine, which is owned by the Feminist Majority Foundation, which she heads. Welcome to our program today, Ellie Smeal.
Nice
to talk with you. And first up, let's talk about the good side of the Obama ledger on issues related to family planning and choice. He did, in one of his first acts, I think on day two or day three, lift the ban that Bush had imposed on funding for international efforts that could involve contraception or abortion. And this is a very big step forward. Why is it important for the United States to take this leadership role for women in other parts of the world?
Well, the United States has long been one of the largest funders of help to women for reproductive health. And essentially, we would not be funding abortion services per se, but what we're funding is family planning and essentially health care for women.
Mm-hmm.
It even goes into pap smears, you know, just gynecological health care. But under Bush, you couldn't even give information or referrals on abortion. In other words, you couldn't speak about it.
Yeah.
And he's lifted this gag rule, which is the gag rule resulted in us cutting off family planning services to clinics all over the poor world, the developing world, and even resulted in cutting off supplying condoms to something like 20 countries. In this, you know, we still have an AIDS epidemic going on. So it caused a lot of harm, and now finally it is lifted.
And talk a little bit about the contradictions, because Bush was very proud of PEPFAR, which was his program to increase AIDS funding, particularly for sub-Saharan Africa. And I give him credit for it. It was an initiative that I didn't expect from him. But to, on the one hand, be trying to provide lower-cost drugs for those who already have HIV, this blind opposition to family planning, including the distribution of condoms, which can help prevent HIV transmission, is just so contradictory and, well, downright silly.
Well, it's just, there's even put restrictions on his PEPFAR because he supported what they called abstinence-only programs,
right,
which were counter-indicated, really, in fighting AIDS, because he had this system that you could, you know, ABC, essentially abstinence first, be faithful, and then condoms. But you know, in Africa, for example, the growing faith of AIDS is really married women whose husbands are not faithful, and mm-hmm. it is ridiculous to cut off the supply of condoms.
Yeah, it sure is. Now, Elie Smiel, the other thing that Obama did is he went up to Capitol Hill last week and he basically ordered Henry Waxman to remove a portion of the House bill on economic stimulus that
right.
would have provided a nominal amount of funding for family planning services in the country.
Right.
I'm offended by this because it really allowed the Republicans to cherry-pick an issue that should not be controversial. They make it that way, and he gave them that point, and he essentially conceded it to them in pulling it from this bill. Obviously, we see it was a failed effort because zero Republicans turned around supporting this in the House. He's got a real uphill struggle in the Senate, and this is one of those concessions that I scratch my head and say, why bother?
Right, because we have something like 90% support on family plan, on contraception. It's not a controversial subject. It's very dangerous to make it controversial. The good thing, though, there's two things. One, it was really just an expansion of Medicaid to allow states to have a waiver so they could supply the funding. It really wasn't going to cost the federal government very much money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's gone. But the good thing is that he has promised, that the administration has made a commitment, that it will be immediately put on a budget act. So this is very important because we cannot allow these ideologues now to make contraceptives as controversial as abortion. That would be ludicrous and not only unnecessary but going against the popular world will, but also endangering women's health.
Mm-hmm. Now, the upcoming edition of Ms. Magazine has Obama on the cover with a T-shirt that reads, "This is what a feminist looks like."
Right.
Any thoughts about recalling that cover, or are you okay so far?
Well, we trust that they are going to pull that family planning money, better that they will make commitments for the expansion of Medicaid. And the reason we put that cover on is because he ran on a very strong platform for women's issues, but also he self-identifies as a feminist. And we wanted the world to know that, and we wanted people to know that feminists can be all different types of people and that men can be feminists. But we also wanted to say, and we do say this in our column that's for explaining the cover, that no one's a Superman and that in reality it is up to us to hold our leaders' feet to the fire and also to organize. I mean, Obama knows this. He is a community organizer, and he knows that to get things done, the public must be organized and really make sure that our leaders' commitments are carried out because there's a popular demand and will for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a consciousness raiser. It's gotten all kinds of comments. but we stand by it.
Eleanor Smeal with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, Feminist Majority Foundation, Ms. Magazine publisher. And Ellie, I can tell you're at a public location there and you're busy, so I just want to ask you about one more thing and then I'll let you go. There's been a lot of tabloid coverage of the woman in Southern California who received fertility treatments and gave birth to octuplets, eight children. Yes. And there's a lot of judgment going on, and I'm really offended by it. Now, I recognize that she already had six kids, and she doesn't appear to have enough income to take care of those, plus the eight that she's just given birth to. But instead of the kind of public judgment that we're seeing on television and in newspaper columns, I think this is a moment to call out the pro-birth crowd. They call themselves pro-life. And here a woman chose to do this for whatever reason. And I'm not going to try to get into her head. I'm not going to try to get into her life and impose my views or values or judgment. And I call on those who have been critical of her in public to retract those remarks and find ways that are, you know, available to you to offer help to this woman. Because I see no value in trying to determine post facto that she should have done this or she shouldn't have done that. And I really think the hypocrisy of these people is coming through loud and clear.
Well, there's no question. I mean, and the women's rights movement, of course, has always been for the freedom of choice. And the other thing about all these stories is we never have the full story. Suddenly, you know, it becomes like a sideshow, and everybody jumps in. These are real human beings. We don't have the full story. And, you know, we got to get to the position that medical choices and a private decision remain private, and that we don't all, you know, make every issue a sideshow. There's so many important things going on, and I am surprised that the Right to Life movement has not said something, but I think they are quite quiet.
Well, to the extent you can, I encourage you to call them out on this, because I really think it's an important teachable moment.
Exactly.
All right. Ellie, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate the work you do.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm sorry we've got a noisy background here, but there's no place to go, and I appreciate your support.
All right. Good to talk with you. That's Eleanor Smeal, as we mentioned, publisher of Ms. and the head of the Feminist Majority Foundation, which owns Ms. Magazine. My lines are open for you the rest of this hour at 888-5, Peter B., the Free Speech Zone, available to you right here, right now. And you can comment on any subject we've talked about today. Tom Daschle, funding for the arts, the need to investigate the crimes of Bush Co. Tom Daschle, we talked about that again. And also Phil Angelides on the green economy. But I want to take a moment here because, as you know, I'm based in San Francisco. And there's a talk show host on a station here who I know and I generally admire. He used to work in Boston. His name is Gene Burns. And last week I was really stunned, because at a time when there were so many other more important issues about the future of our economy, the foreign policy messes that have been left with Bush, by Bush to Obama, the challenges to our own constitutional rights, privacy rights, there's so many things to talk about. And I was driving home and Gene Burns started talking about the woman who gave birth to octuplets. And to my knowledge, he doesn't know this person. He only has received information from the media. And he was quite willing to judge her. He also criticized Kaiser for permitting her to carry what they thought were seven fetuses, turned out to be eight, to term. And he actually went on to offer the free advice to counsel that this woman should have had selective abortions to reduce the number of fetuses she was carrying. And at that time, I didn't even know about her six existing children. But I heard him ranting about this, and in a way that I found so offensive. And Gene is a brilliant guy. He's got a command of history, sometimes a little bit of a blowhard, goes on and on and on. But he's a libertarian. And on many issues, I find common ground with him. I don't describe myself as libertarian. But I just found it quite surprising, and I have seen this echoed, particularly on the morning shows on television and in some newspaper columns. And the media is, you know, happy to create a circus atmosphere about this. And they run out of things to do. They've got satellite trucks parked there and paparazzis to try to capture any moment. We've learned that, her dad is divorced from the mom. They still live together, but dad's working in Iraq as a translator to try to keep the family financially sound. And the mom's gone public and said, I don't understand this. My daughter just loves to have babies. TMI. Way too much information. And I'll add to that, TMJ. Too much judgment. Who are we to decide what is right for someone else? And if you think she needs help with 14 children, don't just sit back and criticize and act holier than thou and promote some sense of your superiority. And particularly if you have advocated denying a woman's right to choose to have children or to choose to abort them. I ask you to examine your conscience and yourself. Refrain from judging. If there's something you want to do to help, if you want to try to change policies for fertility clinics in the future, I think that's fine. And frankly, I don't even know this woman's name, and I don't want to. The tabloid coverage just offends me and turns me off. And when it's coupled with judgment, I start to bristle. I start to bridle. And who knows? I might lose my mild-manneredness. I've got room for your calls here before the end of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, including snowy Boston. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Or email Peter at peterbcollins.com. I read them all.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We have a collision with no injuries in Monterey County on Highway 68 at Portola Drive. And in Santa Cruz, we have a pair of traffic hazards happening. The first one is on Highway 1 at State Park Drive. There is some wood debris in both southbound lanes, so look out there. And the second one is on East Zionte Road at Zionte School Road. We've got a vehicle blocking the road there. CHP is on the way. And weather, we're enjoying a gorgeous evening with clear skies throughout the tri-counties. Expect temperatures to drop down into the low 40s tonight. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming cloudy in the afternoon. Then we'll have rain in the evening. Expect highs in the mid-60s, and south winds will be 10 to 15 miles per hour tomorrow. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Nyjan Robinson. 4-on-3 up the left outside Jamal Boykin, the open floor, goes in and Viney and scores!
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home for the Bears.
Next tip-off will be February 5th, Thursday at 7 p.m. as Washington arrives at the Haas Pavilion. Hear it here at KRXA 540.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
That makes me feel as good as you do.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Wherever you are, however you listen, you can stay in touch with us through my website at peterbcollins.com. We stream it live during our broadcast origination hours, 3 to 6 Pacific, 6 to 9 Eastern. And podcasts are right there on demand. Again, peterbcollins.com. Got a stack of callers here to round out the free speech zone. Up first, it's Brian in New Hampshire. Go, Brian.
Hi, Peter. Gene Burns, I guess he hasn't changed his colors from when he was in Boston. He's still a liberticidal, social Darwinistic libertarian. And see, he's playing. He's a libertarian. I know he's more liberal on social issues, but he's playing to the right-wing, anti-abortion, anti-condom, reactionary people out there.
Well, just a minute, because on this, he was suggesting that Kaiser should have forced her to have selective abortions to reduce the number of fetuses. So that's not playing to the pro-life crowd.
Well, it's just polite eugenics. It's just a kind of social Darwinism, though. It's very much on the right side of the political spectrum. My own father came from a family of 10 kids, and they were one of the children died in childbirth, little Walter, in the Depression-era America, and we're all in this thing together. The woman's already got 6 kids, so it sounds like she knows how to take care of children, and the 8 children she has, they've already been born now, so that we have to take care of them.
And their policy, people are welcome to debate policy issues and deal with that. It is the personal judgment that I reject. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate the call. Now to Vernon and Salinas, listening on KRXA. Hi, Vernon.
Hi, Peter. My question is, what rights does the father have to the child? I mean, if we get a woman pregnant and she says she doesn't want to keep the child, I can't talk her out of not having an abortion because all the rights is to her body. I have no rights to that child. She can go off behind my back, destroy that life even though I want to keep it, and I can't say nothing. So how is that fair?
Well, it's a set of Hobson's choices there, Vernon, because on the one hand, I can appreciate your interest, and on the other hand, whose right is it to force a woman to carry a baby to term? And so it's a very difficult set of issues that I think are best left to personal choice, not the public square.
That is very true. But you know what? When these people go off and they get on welfare and everything, it becomes a public problem. I totally agree with what you're saying about the pro-lifers. They cannot have it both ways. They mm-hmm. cannot say, hey, you know, well, we're for pro-life, but this woman shouldn't have never had 8 babies.
All right, Vernon, thanks. I got a bunch of callers here. I'm not trying to shut you up, but I want to get everybody's point of view. Connie in Monterey, you're next.
Hi, Peter. I'm sorry. We'll just have to agree to disagree on this one.
Tell me why.
I was forced into having an abortion myself for medical reasons, and I don't think that this woman necessarily had to have an abortion, but she should have arranged to have these children given up for adoption.
Well, that's still possible.
Yeah, well, I hope...
But that's her choice, Connie, not yours or mine or Oprah's or anybody else on daytime TV.
I also think that her doctor, when he saw that, you know, everybody has to fill out a history
mm-hmm.
when they go in to see a doctor. And I think that her doctor had the opportunity at that time to say that you already have 6 children.
Connie, you're second-guessing, okay?
And he saw that she wasn't married, and he could have denied to give it to her to begin with.
Well, we're second-guessing, and I refuse to do that. If you want to talk policy, if you want to say this is a learning experience and we should look at this and develop policies in the future to make sure that we're not using fertility processes to create multiple births that, you know, cannot be sustained once those babies arrive, I'm okay with that. It's when this woman is personally judged and demonized by people who don't know her, have no connection to that family or that situation. It is gratuitous judgment, and it's something that has run amok in this country, and we see it on television with To Catch a Predator and all other kinds of jive. And I, for one, have had enough, and that's why I said it.
I'm sorry. I've had doctors refuse in certain circumstances, you know, to give me certain medications or to do certain procedures or to say, Connie, I don't think that this is in your best interest. I think that the doctor had the choice of saying that this, I don't think that this is...
I think the doctor had the right to advise her. He didn't have the right to tell her what to do.
No, not what to do, but mm-hmm. He could have said, I don't think that this is in your best interest, and I don't think that I'm the doctor for you. If you want this done, you can go to another doctor.
Connie, thanks for calling with your point of view. I appreciate it. Now to Portland, and Grant's on the line. Hi, Grant.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to suggest and or second...
Mm-hmm.
Howard Dean for Dashiell Spot.
Yeah.
I like his doctor credentials,
mm-hmm.
and I'd much rather see somebody like him in there than an agent, a sign, or otherwise an operative of the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's pretty much what I wanted to say.
I agree. I think Howard Dean is the obvious choice here. We've got to make sure that... you got Obama's email?
What's that?
Do you have Obama's email? He's got a BlackBerry. Oh. Let's let him know.
Oh, right.
Thank you very much, Grant. Hey, and we're on in Portland 7 days a week now.
You know what, though? I listen through the Monterey station because it's better.
Okay, very good. If you're up late at night, we're on from 1 to 2 a.m. weeknights and then Saturday and Sunday 4 to 7 on KPOJ, okay?
Right on.
Spread the word. Thank you, Grant. Now to Mary. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Marv.
Thank you.
Marv in Pacific Grove.
You know,
one letter makes all the difference.
I won a radio, a little clock radio from a store in Seaside because they mistook that Mary to being, you know, Marv to Mary.
Uh-huh.
Because they never would have given it to a man.
Okay.
So, and sometimes it works out.
Marv, be quick. I got 30 seconds for you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you for that little soliloquy that you gave, and like Keith Olbermann occasionally does. And I really appreciate that because it puts some energy into life.
Well, Marv, I'm a man who's burdened with too many opinions, and if I weren't here behind the microphone, I'd be on the couch in the therapist's office next door.
But the point is that too many people are afraid to say what their opinion is.
Yeah. All right, Marv.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call today. Great to hear from you. And Grant in Napa says, how about Dick Gephardt as the next Secretary of Health and Human Services? Howard Dean's my first choice, Grant, but Gephardt, maybe.
Happy trails to you.
Thanks for joining me for this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I hope you'll do it again tomorrow, same time, same locations.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
A bad day for President Obama. Two of his appointees were forced to withdraw because of tax problems, including Health Secretary-designate Tom Daschle. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
The president is taking the blame.
We screwed up.
He told Katie Couric for the CBS Evening News he regrets the loss of his nominee for HHS secretary.
This is something that was my fault. I continue to consider Tom Daschle an outstanding public servant. And what we're going to do now is make sure that we get somebody confirmed and start moving forward.
And along with losing his nominee for Chief Performance Officer, Nancy Killefer, Mr. Obama seems well aware of the bad impression.
I don't want my administration to be sending a message that there are two sets of rules, one for prominent people and one for ordinary folks who have to pay their taxes every day.
Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson had to withdraw as the nominee for Commerce Secretary because of unresolved ethics charges in his home state. Today, the president tapped a Republican for the job, New Hampshire Senator Judd Gregg.
Judd is famous, or infamous, depending on your perspective, on Capitol Hill for his strict fiscal discipline.
In 1995, Gregg voted to abolish the Commerce Department. Probably the happiest place in Washington today was the Justice Department. A big cheer went up as Eric Holder was sworn in as the nation's first black attorney general. Wells Fargo, which took $25 billion in bailout money, has canceled a Las Vegas junket for top-performing employees. The company had defended the 12-night event, but backed off after under intense criticism. Tomorrow, the Obama administration plans to announce limits on executive pay at companies that accept taxpayer funds. The Senate continued debate on economic stimulus today. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson is following developments.
All sides now agree the president's stimulus bill won't survive its original form, passed last week by House Democrats. A bill that, depending on how you see it, would create 3 million jobs or serve to fulfill a long wish list of a Democratic social agenda. A CBS News analysis finds the president's stimulus plan balloons virtually every federal agency in terms of dollars. $5.5 billion more for the Department of Commerce, $9.4 billion extra for the EPA, $5 billion for labor, $1 billion for the census, and nearly $36 billion for agriculture.
Republicans are pushing to cut that